Let's get ready to wrinkle!
Well, hey, everybody. This is a new kind of setup we got going on.
Yeah.
We are one member down. One man down. Corey is missing. So
is he going around in his Winnebago flying through space with his dog?
He was out of town.
Yeah, he was out of town flying around space with his dog and his Winnebago.
Yeah.
It got cold. It got cold out in space and rainy. Mm-hmm.
It does
rainy in space for some reason.
It rains a lot.
Barf made him come home.
Yeah. So now he's sick.
he's actually upstairs.
Yeah.
Did he have the special?
He might have had the special, yes. Which means, everybody, you're in for a treat, a special treat.
Yeah.
This is Fly Casual, the podcast where we talk about Star Wars and things related to Star Wars. And
like Spaceballs.
Yeah, exactly. My name's Stephen J. Howie. I am standing in as the guy who's going to direct traffic for you.
Yeah.
Directly in front of me, who's actually facing me now.
Yeah, this is weird. I am actually looking at Stephen J. tonight.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do. We have Michael J. Archibald.
Hello.
In the house.
Hi.
And then across the pond, across the way.
what pond?
the imaginary.
Lake Wawasee.
Oh, okay.
We have, what is it? Garrick Not Jay Hardy.
Not Jay.
I had to get the Not Jay in there.
That's right. Not Jay.
Our Circle City friend. Yeah. How is the Circle City doing tonight?
It's very round. Also, it's very rainy, like space.
It's been that way this week.
Yeah.
I don't know. It kind of felt we were like bad. In the death throes of summer and all the mugginess a couple weeks ago. And is like, 80 degrees felt like you were going to, melt outside.
Humidity was like 200%.
Right. Now suddenly 200. It's like 50 degrees outside and chilly. So it's like fall is here.
Which is, I think, the reason why Corey got sick. He was not in space. He was actually camping.
Yeah, he was skinny dipping at Jellystone Park.
With all the kids.
Hey,
boo-boo,
like,
that guy's naked.
It's not that kind of park.
I think
somebody
they were the only
park
one.
Ranger.
They were the only one, I think, camping at that park this week.
Yeah, as cold as it was.
Brave enough to go out.
Well, we're going to get right into it. So, Mike, what do you have for us for news?
Stuff this week, if you can believe it. Well, the big deal this past week of as far as official news goes would be the release of A New Dawn, the kickoff novel for Star Wars Rebels. And we've all got our copies of the book.
Yes. I got my digital copy.
the audio version only. Audio copy for Howie. Garrett.
I got the digital copy on my
All right, show of hands. Who has finished?
I see two hands. Two or three hands. That would be Garrick.
Yes.
SJ.
And from talking with Corey, I don't think he's finished either.
No, I don't think he's even started.
I would be on
chapter two. So
you're well on your way.
I'm getting there.
That's about halfway, right? That's four chapters.
Well, let's see. My Kindle says it's 5%. So
yeah, 59 chapters, if I believe, is the. Is the length of chapters in that book. What we're not going to do is really get into discussion on it.
Yeah, I think we're going to save that till Corey gets back and maybe give our folks a couple more weeks at least before we kind of delve in and give our impressions of it. But how about we just get some ideas from you guys, Garrick and Steve. What are your general impressions, I mean, coming away from that? I mean, how does it... is it more, let me ask you this, is it more just a direct tie-in to the TV show, or did you see some kind of foreshadowing, was there any surprises in it that were like, that really tied into episode four, that type of thing that tied into the movies better?
Well, at the beginning, they had a nice little setup, that kind of, was a setup for the one of the main characters, and it kind of tied in a little bit to the the end of episode three.
Right.
And and from there, you know, it got to the point where it was a nice setup for going forward for this new
for the series. So it really kind of focused on the series. There was no like little tidbits or surprises that you were like, oh, okay, well, that, you know, that directly ties to A New Hope or, you know, something that we'll see in the future.
I didn't see any of that. Did you, Garrett?
No, I didn't. But, you know, when I first went in, I kind of had to transition because I'm on my third way through the Song of Ice and Fire series, aka Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that's not Star Wars.
So going from there to going to A New Dawn was kind of a transition for me.
Just, you know, swords.
It took me a little bit of time to get in the flow, but to answer your question, Mike, it's more of like a one shot. But yeah, it does answer some questions that will be raised from Rebels,
right?
I assume from when the TV show is.
Yeah.
The only thing I was surprised by, I think, is there was actually a character that was a female stormtrooper, which
interesting that you bring that up. And I heard actually an interview with and can you guys remind me the author's name?
John Jackson,
right?
Yeah, right.
And
John Jackson.
I heard an interview with him, and the interviewee, I think it was one of the guys from Full of Sith podcast, asked him about the female stormtrooper and what the deal was with that, and his response was, it was interesting. He said, "Well, you know, I went there. They didn't, you know, fight me on it, you know, because obviously they kind of gave him some broad brush strokes to work with, you know, a basic outline and how the main characters would interact with each other." And his response was, "Well, I just didn't think that there was anything about what has come before that would, you know, keep the Empire." He thinks that the Empire, you know, would do everything they can to get the best talent available. And there really was nothing in his mind that would indicate that, you know, there was sexism or, you know, that type of thing in the Empire, which I kind of sat there during that interview and I was like, Admiral Dayala, her whole backstory. Yeah.
Dala. Well, there was also a female interim captain of a Star Destroyer.
Yeah, they definitely
so there was someone in command that was a female character.
Exactly. Right? Yeah, they definitely didn't have. I didn't get the sense of any kind of, you know, sexism at all. From the Empire,
there was probably racism because we know the Empire doesn't like.
Well, not racism, it would be speciesism
xenophobia. I guess is the correct term.
Right. Right. Right.
But now, yeah. So there was no real aliens in the command structure that I can remember.
Right. But if you go back to, I mean, for us geeks that love the EU and all that stuff, if you look at Dala's backstory, her backstory was that it was tough for her coming up through the ranks because there was that kind of phobia against women in service. So I think at least from the EU structure, now from the movie structure and all that stuff, no, there wasn't any of that. We didn't see any women depicted in the movies with like leadership type roles, that type of thing.
Which kind of lends itself to the fact that maybe they didn't want women in leadership. You kind of get that feeling though. If there's no women in leadership, then you kind of almost.
Kind of the conventional wisdom as far as the Empire is concerned is that it's an allegory for, you know, Nazis and mm-hmm. Nazi Germany and that type of thing. And, you know, if that's the case, I mean, you know, there wasn't really women in power, you know, so to speak. And, you know, not that there weren't women that held, you know, higher position, but generally it was pretty much, you know, dominated by men, you know, and I think that was kind of portrayed in the movies, but, and like I said, carries over into the EU for us geeks that like that, you know, at least with the story of Dala. So I thought about that. So, obviously, you know, the author, you know, wasn't familiar with that, but, you know, hey, kudos for him for kind of,
It's a new canon.
Yeah.
So,
right. New canon starting all over, all that stuff didn't exist.
Well, yeah, I think there goes. Go ahead, Garrick.
Oh, I was just going to say anything goes, but one more thing, the villain in the book, the main villain, that is, he was very interesting villain. I don't want to spoil it, but it was very atypical Star Wars villain that I saw. What do you think of that, Howie?
Right. Yeah, it Yeah, I agree. I want to talk about it.
We'll wait to next week.
Yeah, let's wait to that for next week. I think that it'll be very good.
Thank you, guys.
Discussion topic. But I do want to get the full name of the author right. John Jackson Miller.
Oh, gotcha, thank you.
Is his name. So just to make sure he.
So when we have him on the show.
Exactly. I also want to put a plug out there for the audiobook. If you like radio dramas or you like a lot of Foley work in your book reading or book listening, this is spot on. Really good. I didn't know how I was going to think about it at first because, you know, you had blaster fires, you had, you know, background noises and the range of voices was amazing. So I didn't know how I was going to think about it first, but.
That's interesting
really got
for an audiobook
it.
Because normally, I mean, you'll see authors, or not authors, but the guys that actually perform the reads, you know, a lot of times they'll develop characters, mm-hmm. so that, you know, they'll change their voice or whatever, but it's pretty. I would say it's more rare to have the background noise and stuff like that. Yeah. It's not unheard of. I've heard it even in Star Wars books, but to have that kind of drama. So it was pretty detailed then.
Yeah, huh? and from as far as I can tell, and anybody out there, correct me if I'm wrong, but this guy it did the full range of all the voices, and I can't. I've listened to quite a few audiobooks, and there's some great ones out there where they actually get into, you know, they have a specific voice for, you know, different characters, but nothing to this detail, I guess. It did a very good job. At first I thought, are they having like 20 people involved in this? Yeah. But no, it was really good.
Yeah.
Wow. So I just wanted to, if you're into listening to audiobooks or you want to give it a try for this one, I highly recommend it.
Yeah. It sounds a lot like what I remember from, for those who do like the audiobooks from the Harry Potter series, the guy that did those
right.
was very good at developing, and he kept it consistent. Even after those movies came out, he was really good at keeping the characters that he had developed earlier, you know, when he voiced to them, consistent.
Now, what I'm going to find interesting is listening to those voices, you know, from the book that he did, and then going into the series, I'm going to see, okay, how different are these?
Right.
Because I've got in my mind.
It's not Freddie Prinze Jr. Yeah. Sorry.
In my mind, I've got these voices and they're going to be different.
Right.
Luckily, you know, it seems like, you know, from as far as I can tell, you know, I'm not going to have to worry about that too much because there's really only going to be, you know, two people going forward from the book, as far as I could tell.
Right. So, okay, one last question on the book, too, before we move on. Is it pretty much this is just a one-off, or are they going to do other books during this series? Now, I mean, if it keeps consistent with what they did on Clone Wars, it seems like it's just going to be a one-off and that's it.
That's what it sounds like. I mean, I know they have two other books in the work, but they're not to deal with. They're not with
they're
Rebels.
They're not with Rebels. Yeah, there's a Luke Skywalker book and there's a Tarkin book coming
out. These seem like they're very just targeted books. They're not.
Yeah,
you know, they're not a series. So,
And then there's a Lord of the Sith book as well.
Right. Yeah, that's the last one. Or right. No, that the yeah. Oh yeah, there's.
Well, I know with Clone Wars, they did a kickoff movie. They didn't do a book. Well, I think they did a book actually with the movie that followed the movie because I actually own it. But that's what they did for Clone Wars. So it sounds like it's just going to be a one-off deal here too.
I don't know about a book, but I can see John Jackson Miller has done comics in the past for Star Wars, so I can see him, you know, maybe doing some tie-in comics for Rebels, possibly.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. I really enjoyed this book, and I really want more of this. So
cool.
I don't have cable, so I am probably going to be buying these or renting these.
The one extra thing that I will say too before we move on about that, what little I have read, I've kind of noticed that it's still. I know a lot of people are worried about. You know, the EU is gone and it's not part of canon anymore, that type of stuff. Okay, what's it going to feel like going forward? Are they going to reinvent everything? And it still felt like a Star Wars novel to me. They're not re-terming and re-coining phrases and things like that. Did you guys get that sense too?
Very much so.
So, I mean,
this had for me the dirty, grimy Star Wars that I've come to know and love. So I was thrilled when, you know, listening to this, and I'm like, yes, this is what I envision Star Wars being.
Right. So it's still, and it's going to have that phraseology and those same kind of terms, and we're not going to reinvent the name for a Rodian, and we're not going to reinvent the name for a Quorin. And things like
it
that.
Depends how you pronounce Twi'lek or Twi'lek.
Right.
Yeah, there's different pronunciations that variations that people do, but yeah,
they never said Leku, so I don't know if that's still canon.
Right. All right. Well, on the same topic of books, there is a new – well, me and backing up. Here's me, classic me, stumbling on my words here.
Classic Mike.
Classic Mike. Here we go. Where's Corey to laugh me at?
We need a button that says Classic Mike.
The comic that we had brought to your attention a few episodes ago called The Star Wars, that's based on the rough drafts of the original Star Wars movie from the 70s. That's been out here for a few weeks now, and they've just announced a new hardcover collectible edition for you Uber fans out there,
how much is that gonna cost?
It's a hardcover edition, and it's in a nice
beautiful
and I'm just trying to see if they had a retail value on here. I don't see anything, but it's in a real nice box. There's three books in it.
Yeah, I didn't see any place where they had the value of it.
They might not have announced the value yet.
Yeah, it might not. But
they don't want to shock too many people.
I'm surprised, because I think I mentioned this before when we were talking about this, that I'm interested in this being an Uber geek, right? Because I've read some of those old drafts of the movie and things like that. So this is of interest to me, but it's hard for me to believe that, a mass audience would consume this. So I'd be curious to see how many copies of this they've actually sold. And then I'm more surprised that they've come out with this hardback edition. I'm like, what, are they going to sell 12 of these? I don't know. I mean, Garrick, you've read this, right? I've read it now. I mean, is it good enough to actually, you're probably the wrong person to ask this, is it worth going out spending money on this hardcover edition?
How much was the soft cover? Was it $30, I think? I think that was a little bit too much, maybe.
Wow. I didn't even realize that. See, now you sent your version down for me to read, which is what I read. I didn't even look at the price.
Yeah, I think it was around 30, 25 or 30. I can't remember.
God, this is got to be at least $50, I would imagine, if not more.
50, it's probably in the hundreds.
Yeah, I was
going to
say the triple digits at least.
No, you think, really?
Yeah, I think
Oh my God.
The brand, and then the way it looks, and the tag deluxe.
I wouldn't be surprised. $199.
Now, this has been out for a few weeks, so I guess spoiler alerts if you really want to read this, but what were your impressions of this, Garrett?
It was different
than the that's a tough spoiler to hear.
There was a couple little minor differences between the comic and what actually we saw in episode 4.
Right. It's
just a few.
Right.
As in all of it was different. They had some of the same names.
It's funny to have similarity. Have Anakin Starkiller and Lord Vader in the two different characters in the same story. And General Skywalker. Yeah,
two different people.
Yeah, right.
And Vader's basically wearing Vader's clothes, except he doesn't have the mask.
Right.
At one point, he's wearing the helmet.
Right. He's just got like a scar on his face or his head.
He's got this 1950s pomade comb over going on.
Right.
I bet he smells lovely.
Dapadan man.
Exactly, man.
So I don't think I'm giving much away, because I don't feel like there's going to be a lot of people indulging themselves in this, but essentially there's an empire, and geez, the emperor's name, I don't think they even give the emperor's name, and he kind of looks like a Wizard of Oz type, somebody from Emerald City. I know he's got the little pointy goatee and stuff like that. So there's an empire, and really they only name a couple planets. I think I think there's Aquila is where most of the action takes place.
I think they say Alderaan is the capital
planet. Alderaan is the capital planet, yeah. Right. And Aquila is where Princess Leia and her twin brothers live.
Which is really Alderaan.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. So
different. Like you said, Garrick, it's different.
Yeah, it's different.
Well, the funny thing is, and I said this before, you know, this story is based on the rough drafts, and there's a reason they were rough drafts. It's because they weren't good.
Yeah.
People found this problems with them.
Foreshadowing for later in the podcast.
It is. Yes, it is.
There you go.
We shall get into this more, but the biggest thing that I took away from it was this, it was so busy. You know, in the final cut, you know, that ended up being A New Hope, you know, we've got three main characters, you know, Leia, Han, and Luke. And you know, everybody and the supporting cast, your Chewbacca and Kenobi and all them, and a pretty simple story. But this comic, I mean, I can see why it was a rough draft, because there's just a million characters. You're just trying to keep everybody straight. You're like, okay, who's dad? And you know, who's that? And
it kind of makes me wonder if it suffered from the format it was in, because with comic books, I mean, it's all about the graphics. There's not much time for plot development or character development. And it was only 8 issues, so it seems like they took the script and they're like, yeah, we're just going to jam it all in here and it'll work.
I mean, but don't you see, I mean, don't you think though, if that was
put some bubbles around it
into into a movie, it's just too busy from a character standpoint. There's just too many to swallow. I mean, you know, I think you even have some of that with like the Harry Potter films and stuff like that. I mean, I think she was brilliant at, you know, in the novel format, you know, where you have 600 pages or more to develop all these different characters.
Yeah.
But, you know, in a movie, you just don't have that time.
Well, this is why I'm excited about what they're doing with episode 7. And, you know, just to step back a second, I had said, you know, many, many times before, I wasn't big into reading early on, and I've just gotten into reading the last probably, you know, 5-10 years, but, you know,
or 2 weeks.
Yeah. So.
You mean listening, right? You don't really read. Yeah. Right.
I started reading. I read the first Harry Potter novel book.
great timing.
But, you know, now I've gotten to the point where I've read some books and then went to watch the movie. And as everybody knows, there's that disconnect that doesn't really resolve itself in a movie form from the book. And I really enjoy movies that aren't based on a book a lot more, because I feel like they have the freedom to tell the story how it should be told and not be confined to being true to the book.
Sure.
Because it's very rare to be true to the book and then have it reflect on the screen. Mm-hmm. So I think with episode 7, they're kind of, you know, being able to go with that way.
Well, you know what? I think there's an exception there. Well, but it's still, and I'll explain. When they did the prequels, you know, obviously those are movies, and so the ideas of the movies were developed, and then for the movies though, that they would hand that story idea off to an author, mm-hmm. and then the author would write a novel. And I actually, for the prequels, I think I like all three novelizations of those movies. They were really good.
Really,
even episode 1.
Yeah, well, see, could write out a lot of stuff that was missing from those movies.
Actually, the Attack of the Clones book is really good.
Yeah.
But even Phantom Menace, man, had some really deep stuff about Anakin's nightmares and things like that. I mean, it was getting really...
You could really round out what the story is supposed to be about.
Exactly. So in that case, I'm not disagreeing with you, because I'm actually probably confirming what you're saying, because the movie's developed first, and mm-hmm. then they hand the story off to the author to develop, as opposed to writing a movie and then developing it for the screen. Because I see where you're saying, because I think the Harry Potter series especially kind of suffered from that. I think they did a good job on the Sorcerer's Stone, but when they got just the next one, Chamber of Secrets, to me that it's like, oh my gosh, if you didn't read the book, you would have been lost watching that one.
Yeah.
You'd just been like, what?
Yeah, I remember watching that, and there were times I'm like, huh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, now, again, having read the books, you know, I knew what was going on, and it made you know, I could piece it together and I'm like, okay, yeah. But I could see where just people and
the Hunger Games movies are the exact same way. The second one's better, but
right.
Yeah. The first one, it was
very tough. Very different. Yeah. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they do the next two. So,
yeah.
But, right. So anyway, yeah. So, yeah, the Star Wars, I don't know.
The Star Wars.
Yeah.
The Star Wars.
How's the graphics, the illustrations?
I thought they were good. Cool.
Yeah.
I thought they were pretty tight, actually.
Who illustrated that? I don't even know.
Some guy. Maybe a lady. Some guy or girl.
Okay. Somebody out there.
Maybe a dog.
I thought it was top notch. I mean, I think they took what they had. I mean, they were given these scripts and somebody chopped them down and developed.
Put bubbles around them, like we were saying.
Right. So, I mean, I think it was a quality. I'm not a big graphic novel guy. I'm just going to say that right now. I know that Garrick and Corey are, but I'm not so much. So this is, I probably should be ashamed to say this, but that was actually my first full graphic novel.
Oh, wow.
So, I thought it was pretty quality.
I haven't gotten into those. Not because I had anything bad about them, but just for whatever reason, I haven't.
I just, when I was young, I had comic books, but I just never, I don't know.
I don't really know that I even had any comic books. I don't know if my parents said, no, that's sinful. No, yeah. I don't think they ever said that. But
that's the devil with my books.
But I'm really excited about
writings.
I'm not necessarily excited because of the subject matter. I mean, I think it will be good. But these I think there's a couple different comics coming out for Star Wars. Yeah.
I'm excited about those.
They have the Leia one. And then what's the other one?
There's a general Star Wars title that they're doing.
Okay.
So, right. Like an overall arc.
So I'm really excited to dive into those, and I will not be getting the audiobooks of those.
You should.
they'll just have the pictures. Oh, that would actually be kind of cool. They have the pictures on the screen while you're watching it.
There's no exposition whatsoever.
Beep, beep, boop. That's what they would be saying.
Bazap crack. Yeah.
All right. So, speaking of these collector items, have you seen this story, Garrick? This guy that this Vader collector.
I'm gonna find out where he lives.
Please do. I think
he's got to adopt me.
Well, let's see. We got the story from Daily Mail. That's a UK publication, but
okay. M-A-I-L or M-A-L-E?
M-A-I-L.
Okay, just checking.
Well, that one's totally different
website entirely, Howie.
Just had to confirm.
Both websites are good, though.
Oh, really?
Okay, so this guy, some young guy, he is a Darth Vader fan. And
who isn't?
I'm a Vader fan.
Yeah, I'm a Vader fan.
I will say, yep. Bill McBride.
I like the Vader.
And here's what it says. He's got 60,000 pieces in his Darth Vader collection.
Oh, crap. Wait. You said 60,000?
Yeah, I didn't say 60.
Okay, 60,000. 60,000. Right. Lots of zeros behind that. Wow.
Yeah, multiply that by 1,000.
Wow.
So
is that kind of like the slide, the 20,000-foot slide?
Yes. Harrison Ford's slide. We thought it was 250-foot. No, it was 2,500.
I don't even think I have 60,000 pieces of anything in the house put together.
So, yes, Garrick, are you keeping up here?
Yeah. Oh,
all right.
Man.
So, okay. So, any guesses on how much this guy has spent on his 60,000 pieces?
Unfortunately, I shouldn't guess because I know the number.
Oh, you do.
Me too.
This guy has spent over $250,000, $284,000.
Wow. Yeah. So, did it say over awesome. What time period?
I don't remember reading that.
Because it makes a difference. If it's over a year or over 50 years, that's a totally different. I mean, still a big number regardless.
Well, he's
but,
saying he started collecting in the 80s when he was 5 years old.
Wow. So over 30 years.
Yeah.
Or 30 or 30 plus years.
That's not bad, really.
It's still a lot.
Lots of multiples in the collection.
That's
yeah.
But why wouldn't you? One might go bad.
Wow, this is impressive, though. If you have not seen this, you need to head up our Twitter or Facebook page and check it out.
So quick math here, guys. If he spent $250,000 over 20 years, that's $12,500 on average a year on Darth Vader.
Wow.
How many?
Wow. Well,
I can do that.
Okay. You got your calculator. How much per piece then? I mean, if it's 60,000 divided by what? Who's got the calculator?
Oh, oh my gosh. Now you're getting into crazy stuff.
60,000 pieces.
Right, 284K. Oh my God.
Oh, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
While we're typing this in, let's go to our sponsor.
He's spent an average of $4.75 a piece for 60,000 pieces over 30 years. So it's pretty impressive. He's got some neat looking stuff in here, man.
Tell us some of the stuff he's got.
Here's a statuette. It's a Vader in his uniform with his helmet off.
Is this all Vader stuff? It's strictly Vader.
This isn't everything. This is just Vader pieces.
Okay, so wait, he has 60,000 Vader pieces.
Vader. Just Vader.
For 284K.
Yes.
And he has other pieces outside of Vader?
Just Vader.
Oh, he only has Vader.
Just Vader.
He's a Vader guy.
Okay.
He is a Vader guy.
Well, that's more reasonable then.
Well, he has artwork on
makes sense now. Well,
he has artwork on the wall that may include someone besides Vader.
Oh, but it has to have at least Vader in it. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So he's got this cool statuette that has like Vader unhelmeted and he's on like on fire. It's like he's in the lava pit or something. It's crazy.
Did he have the high ground at that point?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. No, he didn't.
High ground,
that's
because, of course, the high ground, right?
Right.
The high ground. I mean,
the high ground always wins.
he's got the old, let's see, he's got the old collector. Did you guys have it when you were a kid where you put your little action figures inside the Vader head?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yep, the carrying case.
Yes, the carrying case. Oh, yeah. Wow.
Classic.
Looks like, what is
the Matchbox? I think I had the Matchbox car. Vader carrying case.
Oh, okay.
I think if they made that idea, I had it.
Wow.
I'm sure they
he's got like eight of those, and some of them are black, some of them are gold. One's yellow. That's weird.
Yellow Vader.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Gold Vader. I'm dressing up like C-3PO.
So yeah, if you think you're cool, you're not so cool, because unless you spend $250,000 on
There's
your
always
Vader.
A bigger fish, right?
If you guys think you're a fan, you suck, because you're not like this guy. Always the bigger fish.
Thanks, Qui-Gon.
Speaking of bigger fish, have you guys heard about the Incredible Hulk?
I've heard about that guy.
Yeah.
I hear
the big green guy.
I hear he jumps moons sometimes.
I hear he's always angry.
Planets.
He's jumping universes now.
Yes.
Whoa.
Or at least he's trying to.
Oh, wow.
He's trying to land in Star Wars Episode 8.
Okay. Well, I am trying to envision the Hulk in Star Wars Episode 8.
Yeah.
Huh. This will be interesting.
Not 7, 8.
Yeah.
So.
As we all know, they're talking about 8 right now. They're developing plans for episode 8.
Yes, they are. That's one of the things.
Is this going to be a Hulk versus like Rancor?
Oh.
Hulk versus Rancor.
I think I might like
that. That'd be pretty cool. I'd watch that. I would watch that.
They pit Hulk versus everybody.
They do. Okay, so Mark Ruffalo, who plays Bruce Banner
in the Avengers series.
I like Mark Ruffalo. He's a good actor.
Which, by the way, as good as Marvel has done with, you know, the franchise, and we've talked about this. That's one of the reasons that we're excited about what Disney might be doing with Star Wars is because of what they've done with Marvel. And they've, I think Corey pointed out last podcast that, you know, they've taken some of their B franchises, Captain America and Iron Man, and they've kind of turned them into A franchises.
Yeah.
You know, they don't even have control over Spider-Man or X-Men, which are their big. They're big ones.
Which are actually becoming now their B tier.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Unfortunately. But.
Yeah, it sounds I just heard this week Spider-Man 3 probably not happening.
So. Right, yeah. Yeah. Right, that's sad. Sad.
Right. So, anyway, the point I was going with, though, is it's funny because they've been successful with, like, Captain America and Thor and
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy come from?
Crazy.
That's amazing.
But the one thing they stumbled over the whole time is the Hulk. And they can't seem to get that right.
Why?
I mean, starting with Ang Lee, which was just... Both of them were just awful. I'm sorry, they were both just awful.
The second wasn't bad.
I like the second one.
Was better. It was palatable.
I think I liked the second one,
but only because
the first one was so bad. I'm like, okay,
maybe that was
that one. Okay, is at least I could watch.
But the CGI, I don't know. They can't get away from it. I guess with the Hulk, you know, you have to turn him into a CGI character. I guess there's no way to do him practical. They could do that. Yeah, he's still available.
That's there's plenty of big dudes out there. Yeah, why couldn't they do that?
I don't know. Would people enjoy Bautista? That though? I don't know. In the CGI age, would people enjoy that?
I enjoyed the TV series immensely.
Yeah.
I did too. I'm just saying. That's all that matters.
The CG Hulk in Avengers was awesome.
Well, Avengers.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
That was the best Hulk that we've seen so far.
And is it that less is more with the Hulk? I don't know. I guess I hated it because when they rebooted it and they did Edward Norton, you know, they had to reboot the whole origin story again. And I don't know. I guess I'm getting sick of seeing the origin story with him. And
yeah, that's partly it.
I don't even know that they have plans to do a Hulk with Mark Ruffalo, but I'm getting way off track here, man. The point is Mark Ruffalo is friends with Ryan Johnson.
Oh, that's where we're going.
It's like, wait, what were we talking about?
Sorry, folks. I'm sorry. Yeah,
we don't
have Corey here to keep us on track.
Right, exactly. Mark Ruffalo who plays again Bruce Banner in the Avengers series. Is good friends with Rian Johnson. They've done some projects together, and I guess somehow an email that he had sent to Rian Johnson has been made public, and it was pretty much, yeah, please get me into episode 8.
Please, very please.
I'll give you $20.
I'll give you $20 if you please, and then
I'll be your friend,
and then have your assistant write me a note. I like your graphics.
Yes,
I like your handwriting.
So Mark Ruffalo, the latest in a long line, it seems, of actors in Hollywood trying to position themselves for spots in the movie. Everybody from. Geez, what were we hearing early on? Tom Cruise.
There's big fans and people are excited.
I think
people are more excited. And maybe this isn't true, but this is kind of the feeling I'm getting. I don't know. You guys tell me if I'm wrong. But I think I'm done. I think people are getting more excited about the potential of the Star Wars franchise going forward than they have been in a very long time, even before, I would say even before episode 1, 2, and 3 came out, but I think maybe
2 and 3.
The build up to one. But now it's like, okay, we've got a potential for a new breath of life that could be pretty awesome. Ooh. And we're all hanging on to that potential for being awesome again. So, I think there's tons of people in Hollywood who are like, I love Star Wars and I want to be a part.
Yeah. I mean,
I want to be
a lot of the hot properties right now in Hollywood are our age, you know, 30s and 40s. Right. They grew up on this stuff. They were there when, when the movies came out, and, a lot of them, would say, this is the reason I got into movies. This is the reason that I got into acting, that type of thing. So,
I mean, the original trilogy was groundbreaking and exciting and, got people excited to be in movies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wanted to be an actor. I failed miserably. Wow. I couldn't do voices.
So again, Mark Ruffalo, long line of A-list Hollywood types. Is he even A-list? I don't even know. Is he? Prior to the Hulk, what was he? He was probably
B-plus list.
B-plus, A-minus, maybe. He's done actually a lot of
the independent stuff.
I mean, he did, what was that, the movie with Jennifer Garner?
Yeah, Garner, 30, the, going on 13, yeah. going on 30. Or
and, he's done a several movie, big, he's been like tertiary roles or secondary roles in big movies. Has I think now been doing some
of
more.
Of course, the Marvel tends roles, to make guys kind of the it thing in Hollywood, and maybe he's enjoying some of that right now.
Yeah, I think that's partly it too.
Actually, it's just kind of funny just knowing him. I mean, he's kind of a big Hollywood lib, and it's just funny that the guy that likes the, you know, kind of the small independent roles is, you know, suddenly thrown into this big giant budget movie. Yeah.
And, he's still doing smaller roles.
Oh,
so
I know he does. I know
there was the one he did recently that I watched. I shouldn't have brought it up because I can't even think of the name of it.
Nice one.
Okay. But I liked it. Other
swing
than,
and miss.
I liked him very much. Other than that, I hated everybody else.
Very interesting.
It was Keira Knightley and Adam Levine. Is that right?
No,
you're Adam thinking Levine, the singer?
Yes. No, he was in it.
From Maroon 5? What are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah. No, he was in all the three of them were in a movie.
Oh.
And, well. And Keira Knightley and Adam Levine were singers.
Oh,
yeah, and then it was pretty good. I like Mark Ruffalo.
You're pretty hip on your independent movie trivia. I don't know nothing.
Obviously, because I can remember the name right like that. So go out and see it. If you like Mark Ruffalo, you'll hate everybody else though.
Oh, sounds great.
Back to Star Wars.
Okay, Star Wars. Hey, Daisy Ridley. Did you hear about Daisy's character this week?
I heard that she's going to be a character in Star Wars.
She's
going to
be a character. That's right. Okay, moving on.
Oh, Howie, that movie is called Begin Again.
Begin Again. Thank you.
Yes. Okay, well, move.
Okay,
Daisy Ridley.
Beginning Again.
What's not in that movie?
More concept arts hitting the web, man. You know, we had Han Solo a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
We had his attire and mm-hmm. his.
Two,
little,
we had two pieces.
Yeah, we had his regular attire and
his little two
like
piece.
His snow gear, whatnot. But now we're getting some concept art for Daisy Ridley's character. And I should back up. It's not really concept art. The story behind this, and if you guys haven't seen these pictures, go ahead and pull them up. They're actually very rough, like
did
pencil sketches.
Did they get
sketches.
My 4-year-old niece to draw these?
Right. What this was is there's some guy, and I don't even know his name, some guy was made privy to the actual concept sketches, okay? Probably in similar quality to what we saw with the Han Solo leaks. He saw them, so he couldn't steal them or take them, or he didn't snap any pictures of them. Instead,
he
memorized what he could, and he went home and he drew what he's an artist, and he drew what he remembered. Yeah, right. So anyway, I mean, that gives us an idea of what she's
okay.
You see what I'm talking about?
I'm down with that. I see. I smell what you're sniffing.
I mean. Well, you get the idea, right?
What?
I mean, you can kind of see. I mean, let's just put it this way: it's not prequel-esque at all, right? I mean, this really this has a feel, and even the Solo stuff that we saw. I mean, it very much has an original trilogy feel to it. Am I right? I mean, is that what you guys are seeing?
Oh, right. You're right.
So, I mean. The sketches that I'm seeing, I mean, she's it's kind of utilitarian, kind of I don't want to say military, but it's kind of I don't know, it's kind of the baggy pants and the
is that a whip?
Is she carrying a whip? Indiana Jones? What?
It looks like she's got a cyborg.
Is that Dad?
Straps of brown leather.
Dad must have gave her the whip, man.
I find interesting is they have like little things describing what's on the art there. And, you know, it's like a blue scarf, a bone colored padding, but yet it's not, you know, they didn't put the color in. It's just, you know, gray, black and white.
Yeah. This drawing. Guy just, drew it.
Like, come on, put the color in. Yeah. I want to see it. If you know what the color is, tell me, show me.
Looks like she's got a cyborg arm.
You did tell me, don't you?
Her right arm. And then she's got the Star Trek insignia on her collar.
Wait, is this?
Wait a minute. What movie set did he go to?
No, you guys. There's no Star Trek in Star Wars. Simon Pegg.
Yeah, Mr. Pegg.
Get down. So anyway, so we got this concept art now. I mean, but you guys are seeing what I'm seeing though, right? I mean,
it's kind of
I don't know. It looks like it's reminiscent of what the Rebels would have worn in the original trilogy.
I'm just really interested what that patch is in her midsection area.
I don't know. Belt, utility belt, or something. Sash. I don't know. Satchel.
Lightsaber.
Just like a little square patch covering a, I know.
Oh, her.
A potential.
Her region. Her nether regions.
Yeah.
Thermal detonator.
You want to know what's behind it, Howie? Is that what's
I'm not
on?
Saying a word.
So, anyway.
Man, things really go downhill when Corey's not here.
They do. They do. Okay, so speaking of this, kind of on a related topic, we got pictures this week. Have you guys seen the picture of, actually this came out today, so you guys might not have seen this yet. Picture of John Boyega. Somebody snapped a picture of him. He's back on set. And I shouldn't say set because it looks like if it's a set, it's an exterior set. So there's a picture of him.
Did you tweet it?
It's in your show notes. I haven't tweeted it yet. Yeah, so don't go to Twitter.
Come on.
Just came out today, man. I didn't get a chance. Come on.
Whatever.
So anyway, it's a picture of John Boyega on set. Go to your show notes and pull it up. But he's actually standing in what looks like to be an open field. Again, on a site location. Yeah, it's hard to say what kind of planet this would be. It's definitely not a Tatooine or anything. Could be Dantooine.
Onderon.
Dantooine is grassy like this, so I don't know. Perhaps. But it seems to show him standing in a field. He's kind of in some, I don't know.
What you call it?
What's that?
Oh, yeah. That's definitely what you call it.
No, the shot of the two people like together.
Yes, it's a shot of the two people together. That if and I'll get this tweeted out. Sorry, we don't.
There's
have
more
it up
shot.
Yet, but actually,
more.
By the time this comes out, we'll have it tweeted. But anyway, so anyway, well, the caption under the picture says extras on set. So I don't know if this is. It seems to be John Boyega because it's clearly an African American man on the left, right, and he's holding a blaster of some sort. He's got. Maybe some military fatigues on.
Now
some
you're
100%
sure that's John Boyega, right?
this is what movie pilot's saying. I don't know anything. Okay. I wasn't there, Garrick. Cut me some slack. I'm just the messenger.
Okay.
So anyway, the broader point here is what's bringing credence to the sketch that's come out of Daisy Ridley character is that the person on the right who is unidentified in the picture seems to be wearing gear that would be very reminiscent to those sketches. So people are thinking, believing that this is Daisy Ridley's character, which would seem to make sense because by all accounts to this point, Daisy Ridley and John Boyega are going to be the stars of the trilogy. So it makes sense that they're
together. Yeah. Okay. So this is just, you know, rehashing old rumors.
Well, I mean it's maybe confirming old rumors. Oh, yeah. Maybe not rehashing, but
maybe confirming. It's hard to really tell who's
kind of,
who there.
Yeah, kind of showing. So anyway, it's showing, you know, again, we're not on synthetic sets. We're out in an open field, which
right.
is cool.
I think those are the key pieces that take away from
right.
this.
No green screen.
No green screen. Green grass. So
there you go.
But yeah, very practical sets and you know, and wardrobe that is very reminiscent of the original trilogy. So I think that's gonna make a lot of people happy. So
yeah. No, I'm excited. I'm excited from that.
All right.
Point of view.
So speaking of these set pictures that we've got, story come out this week about so there's this guy in the UK, right? And he runs this flight school. And he's out and he's taking some promo pictures, I think it said, for his business, his school, whatever. And he's flying around and suddenly he sees what seems to be, to him, some kind of experimental aircraft.
Whoa,
and he's like, whoa, this, you know, military must be, you know, doing some crazy stuff here. So he goes back for a second pass.
The prototyping.
And prototypes for X-wing fighters in a Millennium Falcon.
What? They really made them? The UK government made them?
They did. If you can believe it. Yeah.
Man.
That's
how we won World War II.
Awesome.
Just saying.
They've been in storage this whole time.
Wow.
So this guy by happenstance and accident finds these great pictures of a set somewhere in England. It's not a Pinewood, I guess. And you can clearly see it's what appears to be like a half-built, I guess, to the naked eye would be like a half-built Millennium Falcon.
It's just been, a starboard side.
Right. It's a starboard side.
It's ship
and
turn.
And it's
or
the like
right
the other
side.
Half is just kind of skeleton. It's obviously for a camera angle.
Frame
obviously
for support,
doing,
yeah.
Right, yeah. Frame's there for support, and it's being filmed from a certain angle. It appears that it could be... I don't have you guys seen the bigger picture from like wider angle? Or are you looking at just the one that's blown up? The wider angle picture, if you follow the one from the show notes, is
yeah that's what I'm looking at. What I find interesting is on the Millennium Falcon there's blue in there. There's blue.
Well, there could be some blue screen there. It looks like it's at the gun turret that you're looking at.
And is maybe, it a blue head?
It's right in the center top.
Yeah, center. Does it look it's like the a gun head? Turret. It's the gun turret.
Oh.
Blue.
Huh.
Garrick.
Yes. That's,
what does that mean? What does that mean?
Hold Chess. On. Oh, that's right.
Come on, man.
In the Millennium Falcon, of course. It makes so much sense now.
Had to bring that back around for you. Of
running course. Jokes.
That nobody remembers. Yay.
Aw, you made me sick.
Oh, yeah. But no, well, these are
wider angle shots, if you see some of these, it makes it look like it could be a set for like a maybe an exterior hangar or, you know, I don't know. It's hard to say. I guess they could CGI and make it inside, but I don't know. Kind of cool.
Yeah, the one with the X-Wing looks like there's like a little dish on the side of the road.
Yeah, a lot of people are tweaking on one of those X-Wings, by the way. There's a black one in there. And I'm trying to... Ooh. People are tweaking on the black
stealth
one.
Stealth X.
Yeah, Stealth X. But yeah. I don't know. I think if you look at it, I think it's covered in tarps. I think they're protecting it from weather.
Would you say it's a tarp?
It's a tarp.
It's a...
and nobody knows what we're talking about.
Nobody in Star Wars would know what we're talking about at all.
It's a trap.
It's kind of... I don't know, because some of it's exposed.
What does it look like to you? Yeah, some of it's exposed. Right.
Maybe it's black screen. I don't know.
Whoa.
What?
That's new.
I bet it looks great in space, black on black.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, yeah. It's either... I think it's either tarped up, like you said, or it's, the special fun... What's it called again, Garrick?
Stealth X.
Stealth X. Yes. Or it's just unfinished.
I guess it could be.
It could be that last one.
That's a possibility.
They haven't painted it yet.
Whatever. Jeez, look at that thing, man. Yeah, I don't know.
Assuming these pictures are correct, it's kind of going to be kind of hard to deny.
This one's different than the one that they showed in the that they did that little film clip for The Force for Change with J.J. Abrams. It was just it looked like a regular X-Wing with blue line effects and whatnot. This one is black. It looks like the wings have orange on it. And it's got a different fuselage and the engines are different.
It's definitely style.
That's pretty.
It looks more
pretty cool.
It looks more military, high end. Like this is the new.
I don't know. I wouldn't even call it military. I would say that maybe that's a private. And there were some rumors about this maybe somebody owns this particular, because there were some rumors about like an individual starfighter early on. And
I know what it is.
Mara J did own the Z-95 Headhunter.
She did.
For the longest time.
I think Ruffalo made this, and he's like, if I give you this, will you put me in episode 8?
Look, I made spaceships for your movie.
Yeah, no, it's now Disney denied these, right? Or they're denied comment on these.
Oh, they don't comment on anything. No, there's no official anything.
Just to bring that full around.
I don't even think they've officially announced some of the most recent actors that have come on board.
Yeah.
So
they're not official, but they're pretty official.
Right.
They're official.
So yeah, I this kind of stuff gets me excited. Seeing this, I'm like, yes, Star Wars.
Falcon.
Yeah, it looks good. It's not CGI.
It's
the practical
effects. It's what we've been saying the whole time. The why everybody's excited. It's like you can be on set and it doesn't look fake.
Yeah, you can. Actors can interact with their environment and actually have meaningful.
That's one of the things I think responses. I told you guys a couple weeks ago. I was on a Phantom Menace kick and I popped it in and oh my gosh. Yeah. There's things I like about the Phantom Menace. There just is, but one of the things I hate. Is, for example, the whole Jar interacting with Jar Jar, because the actors always look like they're looking over his head because they're looking at those eye stalks, I'm just like, oh, it just looks bad. It's terrible. Stop.
Yeah. And then it's like, walk 10 steps and then talk. And the next scene, walk 10 steps and then talk. It's like, come on, guys. Can we do something, interact here with something other than just a walking?
Yeah. bad stuff.
If anything else, if all this is just kind of, you know, pushing us into a direction where, you know, they're trying to spin things a different way to keep us off kilter, you know, I think it shows that at least they're doing the practical effects. They're doing stuff that, you know.
It's the stuff that people are excited about. It's it's getting Kevin Smith's crying, guys. He's shedding a tear.
Yep. Aww. I'm about ready to shed a tear right now.
Little guy.
And there's a reason for it. So, all right. The last news item I had today, it says Rebels producer Simon Kinberg is confirming that there will be visual tie-ins from the TV show Rebels to Episode 7. So we're going to see. Yeah, so that was kind of very interesting because timeline-wise, this is still pretty far apart. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
The events of Rebels, the new series that's coming to television, takes place, 5 years before? I think it's 5 years before
A New Hope.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So in perspective to Episode 7, then you got to add 30 years after Jedi, and Jedi is 6 years after A New Hope. So that puts you 35-40 years, you know, from the two. So so interesting that they're saying there's going to be visual tie-ins between the two. That didn't seem likely to me, but the executive producer saying there's going to be, which I guess if they're pushing,
I'm trying to think what those would be, even could be.
Is he just talking about C-3PO and R2-D2? Yeah.
They're going to be in Episode 7.
Mark Hamill, here we go.
All right, there we go. We're done.
Good question. Well, you know what? One of the things I noticed, I was looking at some of the stills from the TV show, and there was a particular stormtrooper trooper of some sort that was reminiscent. Remember those the pictures that we saw of the snow trooper?
Yeah,
and we were making fun of the mullet helmet. Yeah. There's a couple of those I saw in some of the artwork. So, and they have I think with the story that this came with, they were showing concept art for the speeder bikes and things like that. So I don't know, maybe there's gonna be tie-ins somewhere there, but it doesn't make a lot of intuitive sense to me. But I guess from a marketing standpoint, they'll make it happen. Well,
I know in the New Dawn book, there's they followed some of the Empire's the one captain, and she was very young. And kind of followed her, brought her, backstory into it a little bit.
Right.
And it kind of makes me wonder if they're going to be adding in those pieces to kind of formulate a direction of maybe where, just because we got rid of, the Emperor and Vader doesn't mean you've gotten rid of the whole Empire, right?
So it seems like at least with the helmets that we see of the new stormtroopers, those evolved.
Right.
So it seems weird to me, I would think that, even if we're seeing Star Destroyers and things like that, that they've evolved somewhat too. I mean, that they're not going to be the exact same because the prequel versions of those were different than the original trilogy versions.
Right. Was it specifically just visuals or were they going to, are they talking about people
I think the story was just about visual type things.
Probably just planet locations.
It just says, it says elements. Star Wars Rebels may offer first look at Episode 7 elements.
Okay, I'm with you, Garrick. It's probably they're going to put in some spots where the Episode 7 is going to take place.
Right.
Start introducing those a little bit.
Yeah.
Which does that mean? Are they going to be all new planets or some new planets?
Ooh, maybe.
I don't know. We'll see. And we've talked about this with J.J. Abrams. He likes going back to the well.
He does.
And we go to Star Trek, and he just kind of hit, kind of the same things that people loved about the original movies. So,
but he likes going back to the well, but he also... go ahead. Finish. I'm sorry.
That's pretty much my point, that he likes going back to the well. So, the rumors that we're hearing doesn't seem to be expanding out very much. So I guess I'm not surprised by that. So I don't know how many new planets we'll see.
He's not afraid to take big shots, though, because with the, him redoing Star Trek.
Destroying Vulcan.
Yeah, destroying Vulcan. whole time travel thing, which isn't new to Star Trek, but that was a big, mean, you went back in time and rebooted, basically.
Right. It's a reboot.
So, you know, he's not afraid to take big shots.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Be interesting to see, but I don't think he will. I think one of the things that we've talked about this before, I mean, in the prequels, George Lucas went crazy and he's like, I'm going to visit every freaking planet I've ever conceived and we've ever thought of. And, you know, he squeezed in, you know, Mustafars and Oedipas and, you know, everybody else and, you know, lions and tigers and bears.
Felucia.
And,
oh, my.
Right? Felucia. Yeah, we got it all, man. I mean, oh, my gosh. And, you know, we talked about the original trilogy. I mean, there's, geez, you know, how many planets were we on? We were on Tatooine, Hoth, Bespin. And Endor. That's it.
Yavin
4.
Yavin, right. So, but that's it. I mean, we weren't in.
And the Death Star.
Oh, yeah. It's a moon.
That's not
Wait,
a
that's not
a moon. That's no moon.
That's just a space station.
So, yeah, I don't know. So, be interesting to see what tie-ins there will be from the show. I don't know. Some people are speculating. That in later seasons, probably not right away. I mean, since the series is called Rebels, that and it's supposed to be depicting kind of the birth of the rebellion, that at some point we're going to see a young Princess Leia make an appearance in the show.
That'd
a lot
be
of people,
sweet.
A lot of people talking Ooh, about that.
Yeah,
I've
yeah,
seen okay. some of the fan concept art, and it's really good. They had a Princess Leia, Mara Jade as the Emperor's hand, the Emperor.
Yeah.
If you just go out on the internet and look up Star Wars fan art, it's Rebels fan art. It's amazing.
Well, and you got to figure too. People have been saying this too. This is during the time that the Empire was, you know, gaining strength and right. putting the thumb down. So we're gonna see Vader in this, right? We have to.
Well, yeah.
I mean, he's already been referenced. So
right. I mean, referencing is one thing, but actually making him part of it could be something else. It'll be interesting to see if they put him in. I think they should. I mean,
it'd be weird if they didn't. Yeah, in my opinion.
I mean, not that the stories have to revolve around him. But have him make an appearance. I think would be a big at least
his voice.
Yeah, even something. A hologram.
A hologram. Right. Yeah.
Right, which will be interesting too. I mean, if they can, I haven't heard anything about them bringing James Earl Jones in on anything, but it'd be kind of cool if they could get him.
Yeah,
that
brings up a whole new discussion on who would voice him.
We're starting
Billy
a new rumor. Billy D is in.
You
heard that? Right?
Oh, he's in. Yeah.
Anthony Daniels is in.
Yeah, he's always in.
wait, C-3PO is going to be in this?
Yeah, no way. Yeah.
if they don't have Mark Hamill voice somebody, that's just a crime.
Okay, so wait. If we take a step back, is Star Wars really about C-3PO and R2-D2?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's their journey through their existence.
That's what Lucas's his storyline was. I mean, that's what he would say early on, is that this is, at least the original trilogy was... the world of Star Wars seen through the eyes of the robots.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, they take a page out of Battlestar Galactica's book and say it's all happened before and it'll happen again. So that's how the droids know. Oh, this happened before. Let's just go with it. There.
I'll just wipe his mind.
So that's all I have for news, Mr. Howie.
Oh, news? Well, then that means, Garrick, it's time for the toy report.
Hey. It's my turn for the toy report. So back in episode 1 of our show, remember Mike was saying Walgreens had Star Wars action right. figures. And of course, this is the gift that keeps on giving. Apologies to Mike.
You know what? I still haven't seen anything at Walgreens yet, Garrick. So
okay, well, here's the thing.
Are you going to be giving me some good news? Finally.
Yes, there's people all around the country are posting pictures on all different kinds of forums all over the internet about Walgreens rolling out the 6-inch Black Series things that they have. Like we've mentioned.
Really, the 6-inch too, huh?
Oh, yeah. You mentioned the Boba Fett.
Right, the white.
The white prototype armor from the test videos for Empire. Yes. Or was it? No, it was
A New Hope, but yes.
Yeah, New Hope. But they're starting to roll that out, as well as they have the Chewbacca figure, the 6-inch Black Series, as well as Darth Vader.
Vader.
And then they have, yeah.
Which version of Vader? We've got
so
three
that,
versions.
That guy in the UK will be all over that.
But how I got to spend more money now?
$284,027. Like,
there you go. But they're also coming out with a sand trooper, but this one has a black pauldron. instead of the orange one.
Was there a Black Pauldron one? Is he an officer or something?
No, Black Pauldron is enlisted rank, which I guess makes sense if it's at Walgreens.
Okay.
They're the just the privates and
yeah, I guess right.
corporals or whatever. But yeah, I went into a Walgreens today and I saw the price tag on the shelf, but there was nothing there.
Price tag's there. So are they sold out or they just haven't signed the shelf yet?
I think he bought it. the one guy.
The guy that stock in the shelf, he's like, oh, this is mine.
Yeah, well, I think I have an arch enemy around here somewhere. Because he's always buying stuff before I get there. I call him Collector X.
We're going to find you, Collector X.
We're going to get bitch. You. Yeah, I screwed him over back in 07, and now he's out.
He's out for blood.
In 07, yes.
Yeah. So those are cool.
So is there a date on that? Or it's just,
right now. Anytime.
This is it.
They're clearing
the
shelves.
After the show, I'm going out, man.
Okay.
I'm
they're open 24 hours. You might may or may not find them. There's some Walgreens that have them stocked and sold out already, and there's some that are just now rolling them out this weekend.
Right. And these are exclusives, right?
Yes. I believe.
We know the prototype one was, right?
The Chewie and the Vader, I've seen different packaging. So. The Walgreens packaging is a little bit different than the normal Black Series 6-inch figures. So I'm thinking just the packaging is exclusive, but they'll actually like remake them in different packaging for a broader release and like Toys R Us and those kind of stores.
All right.
So those are cool.
Check awesome.
Yes.
About time. And, we got that one, a couple months ago. Dang it.
I know. I've been waiting. They
it's
were
your fault, Garrett.
They were pre-selling them online. They sold out in like a day.
Wow.
Sucked. I couldn't get one.
Hotter than the new iPhone.
Yeah, for real.
iWatch 6. Oh, wait. Huh?
Oh, 6? But, so those are cool. Then there's Gentle Giants are coming out with new Rebels statues or Marquette. Is it Marquette? Marquette? Marquette?
Marquette.
Marquette? Is that how you say it? They're just basically a mold statue of
I'm not a language guy.
Characters from Rebel. The new ones they just announced are there's an Ezra, who's a little kid, and Chopper, which is a droid. I think this one's really cool because it has Chopper, and Ezra's kind of perched on the top of his dome, just sitting there. It's kind of funny because, Chopper's a droid, but you can tell he has a really pissed off expression on his face, even though he's a droid. But that one's cool.
And now, does he talk? Did I hear that he talks?
He's really cantankerous. Because he doesn't talk like R2, who has the real, chipper, happy, beep, beep, bop. His is more like blop, plop, blop.
Okay. When I said talk, I meant like it understandable language. You're talking it's still like an astromech language. But
From the previews, it seems that Kanan and Hera both understand him without a translator or anything. So I guess whatever language he speaks is understandable. Maybe it's Bocce, I don't know.
So he can actually make facial expressions, though?
No, I was just kidding. It was a joke.
I wanted to start the rumor.
He's a droid. He's an astromech droid. Faces.
I don't know. Droids are acted well, they look like they make faces, even though they don't.
He just looks angry all the time, in my opinion, though.
He's like, Bender.
He's beat down. Yeah, he's Bender.
All right.
Bender. Shut up. And then they got a Zeb, who's, I can't remember his race, but the muscle of the Rebels crew.
Would-be Wookiee.
Right, the new, it's Wookie. A new, new species Wookie. To the universe, but actually an old concept of art.
Right.
Of what a Wookiee could have been, I guess. So
It looks really
his
cool.
Character, I don't know. That character seems to be the most interesting to me. I kind of can't wait to see
him. Yeah, he looks like he adds some comic relief as well. I think they all will.
Yeah.
To some degree, very, very Star Wars. I don't think, Star Wars was
you don't need an entire character, Jar Jar Binks.
Right, exactly.
Devoted to
but comic relief, you got the muscle who is not just I'm mad and
Did you see the short where they were was it a prison ship and they were taking Zeb there, and they were pretending like he was their captain.
No way.
But that's where they got the idea.
No, seriously, it was like a Wookiee holding prison ship type deal. And they brought him aboard, and the stormtrooper's like, "That's not a Wookiee."
Yes, see, I told you.
And they're like, "No, it's one of those rare hairless Wookiees." And then Zeb just goes, "Rawr, rawr, rawr." And it sounds really horrible.
That is awesome. I cannot wait to see that.
And they all just like roll their eyes. And the stormtroopers are like, "Wait, stay where you are." And then Zeb just smashes their heads together.
For those who didn't catch our last podcast, there's supposedly a running joke in the series about him, since he was the concept of, or the drawing of Zeb was concept art for what Wookiee was, you know, the first draft or whatever, that in the show they're going to be kind of refer, and again, just to kind of give to remind you what we know about him, this particular character speaks basic, and he's got kind of a Britishy kind of almost regal and authoritative
voice. Doesn't seem like it would come out of that
that kind of a being, but it supposedly throughout the series they're going to be, you know, people are going to mistake, you know, he's a Wookiee, you know, look at that Wookiee, and he's like, "I'm not a Wookiee." So to hear the jokes coming to fruition is awesome. I think that's gonna be a cool running joke.
As long as it's not ham-fisted like every other joke. But
exactly.
Just little bits here and there will be fantastic.
I watched that clip more than a few times. It was it just says rawr, rawr, rawr. It was so bad.
It's awesome.
I think he's rolling his eyes while he's doing it, like, "Oh my god, I can't believe I'm really doing this.
This is not gonna work."
The last one they have, and this one has just released, is the holiday special Boba Fett Marquette, which it's really cool. It's really a different take on the animated series Fett. They had an action figure for the 30th anniversary edition, but this one's actually statue. And he's kind of got like an angular helmet. It's kind of really like Art Deco a little bit, I would say. And he's holding his little pitchfork, but the pitchfork isn't as long as it was in the cartoon from the holiday special.
Okay.
So it looks like he's playing like one of those 80s guitars with the two fret bars coming out of it.
For those not familiar with the holiday special, back in, what, 78, I think it was?
Yeah,
it was they did a holiday special, and it was between A New Hope had already come out, and Empire Strikes Back was in the works. And at that time, and this is pre-special editions. So if you have the special edition, you might think that that's your first exposure to Boba Fett. Well, in an actual release time, we didn't see him until Empire Strikes Back. But our actual first exposure to him would have been this holiday special that they did in 78 that actually Lucas despises and wishes he could round up every
good reason.
It's awful. Absolutely awful.
It's so bad you have to watch it.
Exactly. About the only redeeming quality of it is probably that cartoon. They just do in the middle of this thing where you're following Wookiees that roar the whole time and you don't know what they're saying. they show this little cartoon short with I think it's Luke and Han. They crash land on a planet, and they meet Boba Fett for the first time. So
the animation is very reminiscent of the old Space Ghost cartoon. Before
maybe even a little more psychedelic than that. Though.
Yeah,
I don't know, maybe
more like a heavy metal.
That's how I think about it.
People are hanging on to the 60s. Yeah, they weren't ready for the 80s. Yeah, there was a lot of medicinal use.
It was a cool little cartoon. I liked it.
Performance-enhancing drugs. Yes.
Which did not enhance the performance.
That's right. So, those are the Gentle Giants that I think are worth mentioning. They're pretty cool. You can check it out on their website at gentlegiants.com, I believe is their website. You guys aren't really big collectors, right?
I collect a little bit. I actually collect books, and I've got a few of the toys, but my books. I'm stopping the books, though. I'm oh my god!
There's new ones coming out. You can't stop.
No, I'm done. I have to be done. I just didn't take up too much space. I even read probably a quarter of them.
So you're gonna do the digital books.
Well, I haven't been reading them lately either. I stopped after. I didn't do Fate of the Jedi. I stopped at Legacy of the Force. After Legacy, I was pretty much done. There was just
the one thing
that I think they did wrong that I hope that they get right going forward is there was a point, you know, during when the prequels were being released and thereafter that they were just releasing too many books. I just couldn't keep up. I mean, it was just ridiculous.
Books, how
many
were comics, everything.
Yeah, it was just too fast and furious. And I hope that they rein that back in and make it a little more
manageable.
Yeah. I mean, that's about the only way you can put it because it was just too much material to be able to digest. You know, especially for somebody like me, you know, dad and you know, work and I run my own business and blah blah blah. It's like, you know, when are you going to find time to do that? You know, I don't know. Maybe I'm not the target audience.
Yeah.
But.
I mean, you don't even have time to do a podcast about it.
Right. With the new books, I think they're really going like with these singular stories of just one shots. And I think what I'm really looking forward to is the Luke book that's coming out.
Yeah, first person, right?
Yeah, first person, that's which different. The only other one I know of is iJedi, right?
iJedi was that way, right? That's the Cornhorn story.
The only other Star Wars novel.
Yeah, that's the only one I can think of.
Maybe the kids' books or the young adult books, which I didn't read very many of those. Yeah. I thought that was really cool.
Huh. But yeah, that one will be interesting for sure.
With collectibles, I mean, you guys are kind of into it, but on the StarWars.com website, they had two really awesome articles that just came out recently. About collectors. One of them is actually by Amy Ratcliffe, who was on the show a few episodes ago.
Yep, saw that.
She actually kind of really does a really good job of dissecting collectors and what makes us collect. And she has done interviews with people who are huge collectors. And she herself is a huge collector, but she still would define herself as a collector, which I would agree with.
Mm-hmm.
So really, I mean, if you have time, or even if you don't have time, make time.
Yeah.
And go out and read the article. And the other article was, I think, more based toward people like me who like to organize things. It was how to organize your Star Wars collection. And it had some great pictures with things that were like straight, level, and, you know, equally spaced apart, which I found awesome.
Huh.
So,
if you're into collecting, that sounds amazing.
Yeah. So,
but definitely. Are you really a collector unless you spend $284,000?
Not really.
I don't think you are.
Well, you're not a good one. You're not an A tier collector.
That's right. You're maybe a B minus.
Yeah. But So check those out, and really, that's what I got.
That's what you got for the toys. Got.
Yes.
All right. Well, you know what time that is then means is it's time for Star Wars Fan of the Week.
Wars Fan of the Week.
Is it me? Is it me this time? Week. It's me.
Mel Gibson, thank you for joining us today. I would like to ask right off the bat, what is your first Star Wars memory?
Well, I guess he didn't have a lot to say. That's
all right.
Wait a minute. Was that sound I heard him falling off a couch and then like assaulting a police officer? What was that?
I heard plates and things falling. It must have been at some, you know, drinking or something. I don't know.
Oh man, we always learn something valuable every week.
I think we do. Well, in good fashion as we always do, we still don't have the music queued up for rumors, but it's time for rumors.
Okay, music's going right.
Yeah. Music's going. All right.
Yay! Rumors, man. Okay, well, you know, I felt, and I was talking to Howie about this before we got down here, that, you know, I'm not the kind of guy that thinks, oh, we need to throw out spoiler warnings and this and that. I feel like if you're listening to a podcast for Star Wars and Episode 7 hasn't come out yet, That's what you're wanting. That's what you're doing. You're getting yourself fed on that, right? So I haven't been big on spoiler alerts and doing all that stuff, okay? Other podcasts are big and huge on that. That, like, oh, we need to warn you. This is possible spoilers.
Yeah, one thing we do is we put the rumors towards the back.
We do. We do put our rumors toward the end so that, you know, if you want to tune out, you can. But this week, it's a little bit different.
We already got your download.
I am actually going to take a second to say that the stuff we're going to be talking about here is pretty potentially pretty spoilery.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you why.
No, you have to stay. You are contractually obligated to listen.
Oh, why did I sign that? I'm never giving you my power of attorney again,
honey. Well, here's why we give the warning, because apparently there has been a script leak. Okay. And apparently, from what I'm understanding, from what we've read, this is an early draft. It sounds like perhaps even before Kasdan was brought in as a writer on this. So this is probably some early, very early stuff. But some of it's being confirmed with the rumors that we've heard, you know, over the last couple of months.
So they seem to be overlapping.
So this is your warning. If you don't want to know some potentially, you know, pretty detailed stuff about what may be hitting the screen, you might want to tune out.
Yeah. So, and then, you know,
that's all I'm going to say.
Then tune in next week.
Yeah, tune in next week.
Okay, for those guys who are tuning in right now, our Twitter account is FlyCasual, at FlyCasual1138. Yeah.
And why are you tuning in an hour into it? Come on.
So here we go, guys. You guys ready for this?
I'm ready.
I'm just gonna go down the list here.
And, I really don't know what I'm expecting because I haven't read up at all. So
I'll give you my overall impression. I read this and gone through it. There's a couple things I'm kind of upset about. This doesn't make sense to me. I'm hoping that they've been changed in the, you know,
yeah.
We want to make sure that everybody knows. I mean, again, this is your early drafts, so this may be very different than what we're going to actually see on the screen.
We all know what happens to early drafts,
right?
They get changed,
and they get turned into graphic novels.
And they get turned into graphic novels. They put bubbles around the words, and
except for episode one.
Okay, so this may be very different, but we don't know. It sounds like there's, like I said, a lot of the rumors. A lot of this contains some of the rumors that we've been hearing for the last couple months. So some of this may be confirmed. All we can do is wait till we're watching this crawl on screen and
right
and you know see how
seeing goes, the hand but, floating
right okay so here's what this guy says. He says,
"Lay it on me.
I've read the second draft." Okay, Kasdan is involved in this. Says he's read the second draft of the Abrams Kasdan script, and he's just put some bullet points together. First off, Leia has been made the Republic leader after her predecessor's death.
Okay, canon.
Yeah, I was kind of okay with that. I mean,
follows.
Right, it follows actually what happened in the EU pretty much. It was after Mon Mothma had died in the expanded universe, she kind of took over. So when I saw that...
Before or after Bors Failure?
No, I think he was after... She was after...
that's right.
Or he was after Leia, right?
Yeah,
Borsk was. Right. Yeah, because he was the leader during the Vong War, and he died. Remember he went out in the blaze of glory.
Yeah,
they played that song.
Actually, probably one of the coolest deaths in Star Wars was Borsk Fela.
The Ganner death was awesome.
Yeah,
if you remember that, I don't know.
Ganner. Wait, no, I don't. Remind me, man.
He was defending an archway, and it was kind of like a Gandalf type scene where it's like, you're not getting past me, and just like slew a billion using Vong.
You're talking about Anakin.
No.
That's Ganner. What Anakin did.
Yeah, he did it too, but the Ganner became a god in the using Vong pantheon.
Oh, yeah, because that's right.
Because he just
kicked
the crap out of like an army.
Yeah, you're right. I remember.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Yeah, it was pretty cool. Yes. But
anyway,
so Leia.
To Leia. Yeah, so she's made makes sense. I mean, you know, she's always been involved you know, the galactic affairs and the government and all that stuff from a very early age. So, I don't know. To me, again, this this resonates with me because this is what happened in, you know, the expanded universe that I know. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I think that's a good move. I think keeping that where it's supposed to be sounds like it would be true.
Okay. Well, and this next one goes in tandem with that. It says Han is a retired veteran of the Republic fleet.
Reactions. Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of echo what we've said in past podcasts, and it just doesn't sound like Han.
I feel that way too. That's not really his personality. That his personality has always been kind of the scoundrel, the outsider, the pirate. You know?
There's something that could make that change if he was married, settled down,
right.
Had kids,
right.
Definitely that can change someone's personality a bit. Right. Or at least make them.
Here's how I feel about direction. It isn't my first choice. I think I would have had him just continue to, you know, be an independent businessman, you know, of sorts after the war. But I'm not entirely. This doesn't make me too upset. And here's why: because Han's backstory in the expanded universe, he's got a military background. He actually went to the military academy. I can't remember if he was expelled or left or what he did, but
that says a lot.
He rescued Chewie.
Yeah, he rescued Chewie. So that didn't go over well for him there. But so he has a military background, and it's very plausible to me that he was a general during the rebellion. So why wouldn't he carry through? I can swallow this.
That changes how we're going to look at Han in the movies and what we're going to expect of him.
This sort of confirms, maybe a little conflicting with what we heard in the rumors. If you remember, the rumors have been that when we see Han for the first time, he's going to be captaining a Star Destroyer, right?
Right, yeah.
So that would seem, if the word is that he's retired, it seems maybe head scratch worthy why he would be on a Star Destroyer.
Oh, it's, maybe it's a ceremonial thing.
Going back to Battlestar Galactica, it's just like Adama.
That's exactly what I was thinking. They're turning it into a museum. crap, break out the X-Wing. It's a gift shop now.
It's a gift shop, yes.
Blast.
All right. So, it makes sense.
But Han's not going to be any fun anymore.
But see, doesn't it make sense? I mean, and to me, this pays credence to, and actually maybe goes against the rumor that Leia and Han aren't together anymore. There was some early rumors about them possibly being divorced, separated, that type of thing. I suppose that's still possible here. But if I see him as in military and her in public service, to me, that kind of looks like they could still be together.
Yeah, they at least have the position in the story where it could be very plausible.
Right.
I think Leia's going to eat it. Leia's going to bite it.
I don't know. Could be. I could see, the leader of the Republic, somebody goes after her, an assassination.
You never hear rumors about her.
We don't.
I mean, you see pictures of Mark Hamill with his grizzly beard and hair, and you see Harrison Ford hobbling around, but where's
Leia? And I've been wondering that, too. They've really kept that under wraps. Have they done any shooting with
it's a good point. I haven't seen anything.
Leia's character?
I haven't seen anything.
No.
If they've done, now, keep in mind, though, she's not, her parts, if she's the galactic leader, whatnot, her parts might be shot in a studio. So, and we don't have much. I mean, the stuff that we're seeing are exterior shots. Locations, shoots.
Hard to keep under wraps completely.
Right, yeah, where people can come out with cameras and get pictures.
If you're in a studio locked up, it's...
Right. They're, at Pinewood, it's locked down over there.
Yeah,
they're pretty hardcore.
You can take your cell phone in there.
So, technically speaking, she could be, just recording her parts at the studio. So, I don't know, hard to say, but plausible. I still think it's plausible, too. I hope not, because to me... and this goes back to Return of the Jedi when it was revealed that Leia was Luke's sister. Spoiler, sorry.
Oh, gross. I just remembered a part.
Well, I mean, this boy was our last hope. No, there is another. And, there is another Skywalker. When you find out that she has the same potential as Luke, and this is one of the things that I didn't like about the expanded universe canon, was that they never developed her into a Jedi until the very end. I mean, it wasn't until the Vong series, I believe, that she really even you know, developed her skills.
Really,
as a Jedi.
She wasn't even all the way into it.
No, I yeah, think they it was made still a point yeah, of that. One foot like in, one foot out,
right?
And that always kind of made me mad because I just, man, how badass would that be? Because at that point, she was the closest thing to a female Jedi that we had, you know, in the original trilogy. Well, in the original trilogy, in the expanded universe, yeah, I mean, we had that. Right, right. So I would have loved, personally, to see her develop into that and still maybe do her role as a, you know, galactic leader, that type of thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, she was big into public service, though.
Right, she was, and that was the whole
obvious point. Her passion.
That was the whole point of the expanded universe, that she never got her training done because she was always in the public eye. She was always serving the Republic in some way. So, you know, so plausible, I guess, but I just, you know, as a guy that loves the Jedi, you know, I would have loved to see her character become one. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how they treat her here, but it seems like it's going to be the same thing. Well, she's lived her life in public service and never developed the skills of a Jedi, which is unfortunate. I would have loved to see her wield a lightsaber.
I think this goes along with the, one of the next things you're going to bring up, the Luke, you know, potential of, you know, why she might not be like that now.
Right. And yeah, and the next point is, as Howie's pointing out, and this is unfortunate. This is one of the things that I don't like, because this rumor came out and had me scratching my head. The point is that Luke has indeed been missing for nearly 30 years. Right after the events of Return of the Jedi, he disappeared.
Yeah, now we don't really have details surrounding that,
We don't know that if he's on a sabbatical, he's hermited up like Obi-Wan, or if he's been captured.
Or he's run away just to be like, I've got to get away from everybody.
The prevailing rumors right now, and these rumors are going all over the place, by the way, actually with these bad guys. The prevailing rumor right now is that he was swept up by the bad guys, the antagonists of this new trilogy.
These antagonists
were called Jedi Hunters.
Right.
And then it developed into Inquisitors.
Yes.
And now they're rolling that back. And now they're saying it's not Inquisitors, it's Sith of some sort.
They're Inquisitor Hunters?
I don't know. I'm getting sick of following it personally, but I don't know. It's hard to say. But this makes me upset because this to me is too far of a stray from, you know, my beloved expanded universe. You know, in the expanded universe that I know, you know, Luke took it upon himself. I mean, you know, pass on what you've learned, you know, is what they told him. And, you know, for him to just disappear and then never. So with him being gone for 30 years, this is back to Howie's point. She never learned, you know, how to be a Jedi because Luke disappeared and he's not there to teach anybody.
So that would make sense there. But, you know, the point I'd like to bring up is there's a lot of talk throughout the movies and other places that, you know, there's needs to be balance to the Force. And so one of my thoughts is, what if Luke says, okay, the Emperor and Vader are gone. We need to have balance, which means we can't have too much light and dark. So I need to go away and not, you know, cause a problem. Because if I start lighting it up, is going to be coming darkening it up.
Yeah, right. But that's what seems to be happening, though. If there's all kinds of these Sith or these Sith followers of some sort or Inquisitors or whatever the hell we're going to call them, you know, it seems to be that it would be going dark. So I don't know.
And it could be just he didn't, you know, he went away and, you know, maybe he didn't get captured. Maybe he did. There's a lot we don't know. Yeah. In fact, we don't even know if this is true.
Well, I was going to say, it'll be interesting to see if the whole prophecy of balance, even if it plays into this new trilogy or not.
Right.
I'm just, like I said, my point is I'm a little upset by this if this is true because in my mind, Luke would have right away, you know, jumped out and started trying to rebuild the Jedi, which is what he did in the expanded universe. He went out to Yavin 4, where their original base was, and he started an academy, and they started going around and, you know, collecting the new Jedi. And you know, that was, you know, some of the most interesting parts of that expanded universe was, you know, that new Jedi order that he was putting together.
Go ahead,
storytelling perspective, it would make it a lot easier if he didn't train a lot of Jedi. You don't have to introduce all these new characters with all these weird powers. Kind of like, you know what, I think that's a lot of what episode 2 and 3 suffered from.
Sure.
Is they had all these Jedi. They didn't really explain what they did. They had a council, but it was really into the books once you figured out, okay, Mace Windu is like the best lightsaber person ever.
Right.
He invented his own form of lightsaber
combat. Or,
yeah. I mean, from if you're going to do a movie, I think maybe they're taking an easy route. I mean, you can't have a bunch of Jedi just running around. That's hard to manage.
And I agree. Really. But even in the expanded universe, though, the Jedi never have attained the same level of influence that they did during the Old Republic era. You know, once they were, extinguished by the Emperor and Vader, even in the Expanded Universe series, they never got that big again. You know, there was always just a handful of them.
Toward the end of the Fate of the Jedi series, they kind of almost got there.
Really?
Well, there's a lot of stuff that happened. And
yeah.
They didn't. Right. It's a whole long thing. I don't really want to get into it, but they almost got there, and there's kind of a balance between they became back to the protectors, and then a lot of legal issues were raised, and that's how those books went. Legal issues,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yay! Litigation. That makes for a great sci-fi novel.
I still feel like is going back to the balance bit. I've always had an issue with Luke training up a bunch of Jedi, just based on those few words that have been said. Because I feel like if there is balance and you train up a bunch of Jedi, then there has to be, in the true sense of balance, there has to be balance. So if you're training up a bunch of Jedi, that means a bunch of Sith or, you know, what have you are being.
Or two really, really powerful Sith.
Or two really, really powerful ones.
Like Palpatine and Vader.
Right.
They're coming back, right?
Well, the rule of two. I mean, the whole thing behind the rule of two is the master has the power. The apprentice craves the power, and at a certain point, the reason why Bane instituted that is because the strongest Sith will always survive, because they'll end up killing the master after they've, obtained all his power, and therefore becoming, over the generations, more powerful.
Do we know the origin? Where's the origin of the rule of two?
That's in the Darth Bane books.
Bane.
Okay.
Yeah, that was his whole philosophy.
How far back does Bane go? That's debatable.
That's way far.
Was it 5,000 years or something like that?
Yeah, I can't remember.
It was like 2,000 or 5,000 years. So he wasn't like a Darth Plagueis. He wasn't in the Darth Plagueis era.
No. He's like Old Republic.
Right.
Old Republic. Yeah.
Well, that's 40,000 years.
He basically he came up with that philosophy. He wiped out all the Sith basically by tricking them into doing this really dangerous force power thing. And kind of instituted the rule of two at that point.
It doesn't mean that there isn't somebody far off, who's a twin who nobody knows about, who has, powers.
Yeah.
What?
Wait, what? So still upset about that, with Luke being gone that long. That just doesn't resonate with me. So that's something personally I hope that doesn't.
If they need to spin it in a, it needs to be really relevant.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, I could swallow all this if it's executed properly. So I guess we'll just have to see what they do with it. Okay. Next point, on the script leak is that the lead character is indeed Han and Leia's daughter. So, which everybody
Jaina?
Believes to be, well, there's no name yet. We still don't have the name,
Jaina.
But, I hope it's Jaina. See,
What if
we can have some?
What if it's Jenna?
No.
Whatever.
Nope.
I don't know. So, I don't know. I still want it to be Jaina. I hope he throws us a bone there, but even if it's not, whatever, I guess I'll get over it. But so the lead character, like we said, Han and Leia's daughter. Nothing mentioned about a son. And there's been the talk lately with, I think we brought up on the last podcast about Adam Driver and his GQ magazine, spread and all that, where he was kind of very Solo-esque in his presentation, which didn't seem to be by mistake. So interesting that there's no mention of a son here, or that he's a lead character, but,
I don't know about that.
So Daisy Ridley, by all accounts, is going to be in that role. So also, it says, and this was interesting because this is the first time I've heard this name. I don't know if Garrick, have you seen this article yet? So this is all new to you, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I've all right. Well, here's a new name we haven't heard yet.
All right.
The other lead is the child of Lando Calrissian.
Ah, interesting. Who?
And it says, and either a male or female, depending on who is cast. So that, you know, if that, that's just based on, you know, what the draft said at the time. So makes you want, I mean, because we've got a couple of African Americans in, you know, potentially lead worthy roles. We've got John Boyega and Lupita Nyong'o. And, you know, so the rumors are surrounding them. So if you had to ask me, just based on what we've heard so far, that Daisy Ridley's been hanging out a lot with John Boyega on set.
Oh,
if I had to guess, John Boyega's character might fill that role. Now, again, early drafts, and it's just weird that they're mentioning Lando, and Lando is not in the film. I mean, you know, Billy Dee Williams, by all accounts, has not been – he's been penned for Rebels, but he has not been penned for Episode 7, so –
Yeah, that sounds like a, hey, we're going to try to take this a different direction and probably got cut on the, you know, floor.
Well,
I
was going to say, I don't know if I really buy into that, especially if John Boyega's character ends up being a Jedi. I mean, there's no indication or anything expanded universe or cinematically that, you know, Lando is force sensitive at all. You know,
well, so unless why it's would we just Lando and
why would
Leia.
We believe that?
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on.
Boom. Chika-wah.
That's where my mind originally went.
All right.
So it wasn't Prince Zizo, or it was Lando. Oh, okay. It makes perfect sense to me now.
Now it's perfect.
She does belong among us in the cloud.
See?
Oh, so okay, well, interesting. I have a feeling that part of it's going to be on the cutting room floor, but I don't know, we'll see how that pans out. Well, I hope it is, even if the lead character, you know, this lead character isn't his son, that I'm hopeful that since the name is coming up, at least we'll see Billy Dee in one of these three movies.
Well, what about I forget her name, the lady they signed or supposed to be doing Episode 7. Oh,
what lady?
The African American
Lupita Nyong'o.
Yes. So it could be
Well, I mean, if you're looking just strictly at, you know, race, you know, Billy Dee being African American and Nyong'o being African American, I mean, it would seem that she or John Boyega, if the role is to a, you know, an offspring of Lando Calrissian, that would be one of those two. But I'm still hearing, you know, rumors around her being, you know, possibly a Sith witch, or, you know, even, you know, why is her name escaping me, guys? Garrick, help me.
Well, you know what's interesting is Garrick just got disconnected.
Oh, we don't have Garrick anymore. All righty then. Well.
Either we got disconnected or he did. One of the two. Okay. And we're back.
We
had some technical difficulties.
Do we get I blame Garrick? Corey. Right. I blame Corey. Yeah.
It is Corey's fault.
Yeah, it's all his fault.
Our mumble server went to sleep. But now we have Garrick back.
It is pretty late.
The name you were thinking of, I'll take credit for it, is Ventress.
Ventress, right.
Ventress.
Yeah, Nyong'o. I'm still kind of hearing whispers that's going to be her role. I don't know. We'll see how it all plays out, but... Again, so, I'm not holding much in the way of.
So Ventress is Lando's daughter? No,
you got it, man. That's
weird. Huh. That's something I didn't see coming.
This J.J. Abrams, man. I don't know.
Yep, people in torpedoes. I'm just saying.
Time travel.
Come. All right. So the next one we got here. Let's see. It says the other lead is a stormtrooper, again, also male or female, depending on who is cast. So this one is leaving me scratching my head a little bit. Cause
yeah, that one's
if
weird.
If you remember, the rumors early on were that, you know, Daisy Ridley had been dispatched to a sandy planet to retrieve a rogue stormtrooper, in quotes, who was John Boyega. That was the early rumors. So It seems weird that they've separated this, you know, child of Lando and the stormtrooper, because they seem to be one and the same with early rumors. So, and again, this is early draft, so maybe that character has been morphed together, and John Boyega is now that rogue stormtrooper that has come to the, you know, light side and is going to be learning the ways of the Force. I don't know. By all accounts, at least early on, Boyega was going to be kind of the lead male in the series. Right. So, I don't know. That seems a little weird. And what they're saying now is that this rogue stormtrooper, if you remember Gwendolyn Christie's character.
Yeah, that's what right. I heard.
She's now getting, yeah, she's getting the credit for this rogue stormtrooper role, which seems weird to me because, again, the early rumors were that John Boyega was the rogue stormtrooper and that he was being chased down by Gwendolyn Christie, who was like a lead stormtrooper or, you know, soldier of some sort.
Right.
So,
yeah.
To me, that seemed more plausible, but I, you know, who knows? It's kind of changing and morphing. Yeah,
that whole thing right there
it's blurry.
And it doesn't make a lot of sense to right. me right
and
now.
We're not, yeah. And so that this part of what has been leaked with the script is still kind of up in the air. I don't see much in the way of clarity. So, we're going to have to see how that plays out.
Yeah, hopefully a lot of that has fallen onto the floor and swept under the rug.
Yes.
Well, because, you know, and I think I mentioned this before, we've heard rumors that Gwendolyn Christie's working out with lightsabers.
Right,
and,
we've heard
which
that.
Which makes like sense this. Because she's got, you know, like from her role in you know, Game of Thrones, she's got, you know, mm-hmm. some swordplay experience and that type of thing. So
she killed a few dudes.
She killed, that's right, yeah. she let them go. So, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Cause I don't know, in my mind, I just, from the beginning, I always thought of her more on the Imperial side.
She has seems, that look and that
British.
Air
she's,
about
yeah,
her,
she's, yeah. Yeah. She's British. Traditionally the British,
everyone, all the Brits are on the,
or the empire.
Side,
right. Exactly. So yeah.
Sorry guys. Yeah. That's sorry, just UK. The way it
I
has
mean, just
been.
The, just the British part of UK.
Yeah, right. That's
I don't
right.
know about Scottish or Irish or Welsh. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe they're smugglers. Is that racist? I'm sorry.
So okay,
it may be, Eric.
So we'll see
how, my people.
How that plays out. Let's see. Next point they have. This is an interesting one, and one that could be kind of cool if it plays out this way. But the specific wording is that Luke has no known offspring.
What?
That's interesting wording. Absolutely.
No.
Right. And they were, yeah. The reports that I read is everybody's focusing on the word known. So
maybe that yeah. kiss with Leia was, maybe that yeah. kiss with Leia was more than
oh.
a kiss.
Stop. No.
So it, you know, the offspring's there, just we don't know that.
So I don't know, that could, I mean, that could play into the, you know, one of the big plot twists or whatever, you know, Luke, you know, was thought to not have an offspring, and, you know, an offspring comes, whether it's in this episode, it doesn't sound like it's gonna be in this episode, but maybe that comes into play in 8 or 9. I don't know.
Yeah, that's that. Yeah,
maybe that's a cliffhanger.
Could ooh, be. Da, da, da.
Hey,
it
Dad.
Could be kind of cool. I mean, makes sense.
Hey, Dad. He's just waving. Hi! Like Forrest Gump. Yeah. Gump jumping off the boat.
Hi, I'm Dave. I'm Dave Skywalker. Nice to meet you, Daddy.
Dave Skywalker. All right. Run it. It's good.
So, okay. Yeah, be interesting to see how Luke's offspring. I don't know. If I had to guess, like I said, it's probably that would come into play in later episodes. It doesn't sound like, from what I'm seeing here, that that's going to end up being the result.
That almost implies that he's going around, you know, sleeping with a bunch of women, or at least having an affair with a woman.
That's the Luke I know.
If he disappeared for 30 years, you know, his business is his business. If it's not known, it's just because nobody's seen him in 30 years.
Maybe he had a Force baby.
Yeah. The midichlorians knocked him up.
Yeah.
He gave birth through his butt.
Well, what's the fun in that? Oh, man. The Force baby.
Or they cut it out of him with a lightsaber.
It's canon, man. It's canon.
It is.
So, okay. Let's see. Next one. Empire still exists in the form of a number of loyal galaxies that are in a state of Cold War with the Republic.
Sounds like the EU.
Yeah, that's kind of what the EU was. Now, this makes it sound like it's a little more on equal terms. And in the EU, at some point, the Empire was pretty much beat back, and they kind of were banished or retreated to a portion of the galaxy. It was Bastion.
Bastion was the
system which they kind of still held control. So there's like a number of worlds that they held control, but it was pretty small. I mean, the Empire was a pretty small faction.
Right. It was called the Remnant. So
the Remnant, right. The Imperial Remnant. So, but this, I mean, by the description from what I'm seeing, it seems like maybe they're a little bit more significant. But not, you know, like we were hearing early on that, you know, the Empire still exists and they're ruling everything, blah, blah, blah. Especially if Leia is the head of the Republic, you know.
You would think.
Seems like that the Empire was defeated, but that they still exist in a significant way.
Yeah, I when I think about this, I'm like, okay, initially, yeah, just because you got rid of, you know, the head doesn't mean that everybody's going away.
Right.
But after 30 years,
you would think
something changed, would resolve there.
Right. Well, I can buy it this way. I wasn't going to buy it if the Empire was still in control of things. I keep going back to, why did we have Return of the Jedi then? What was the point? If there was no kind of, if we just killed Palpatine and that was the end of it. So there had to be some kind of beat back. So if I can swallow this personally, if the Republic exists and the Empire still exists also in a significant way, I can swallow that. And the state of Cold War makes sense. And, you know, so there's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of tension.
Right.
I mean, that makes sense. I mean, because you're going to need that kind of tension, I guess, for lack of a better word. You know, you're going to need some kind of source of that in this new trilogy. So why not?
Someone's always going to be trying to gain power. And you're more than likely going to have, you know, multiple forces trying to gain power. So it makes sense that a lot of these, the Empire was, you know, trying, that a lot of people are left over there trying to say, hey, no, we want control.
Right. Right. Okay. On the same topic, then it says, in the script, the Empire is simply referred to as the Empire, and the Republic is simply referred to as, or is, it's only formally referred to once, and it's called the Galactic Republic. It is not referred to as the New Republic. So again, I can swallow that. I mean,
Why would you call it the New Republic?
Yeah, well, that's what they did in the expanded
the
universe.
New York.
Yeah.
But you know, Galactic Republic, I'm fine with that. I mean, there's nothing that disappoints me about that. So again,
it brings everybody together. It sounds more, you know,
everybody is
involved.
But I don't know. If these are true, I mean, the state of galactic affairs, I mean, to me that. This sets up a good, you know, good story. I think, you know, you still got two factions kind of bumping heads and
it's a nice, it's a good backdrop to have to create conflict.
You got Luke bumping uglies.
Yep.
With who knows what.
Hopefully not Leia.
Yeah, hopefully.
Hopefully.
please no.
So
could be a Wookiee.
So the overall political environment is important. It always has been in Star Wars movies. I mean, so it looks like we're continuing that tradition and a state of Cold War. I think that's interesting too. I mean, we haven't seen that in a Star Wars flick. So
it
sounds like that there's not all out war, but there's just, you know, high tension, you know, a la United States and the USSR of the 80s, you know?
Right.
Right.
So
who's got the nukes?
Exactly. So, okay. It says here, the main antagonists, are you ready?
Bring it on.
All right.
Palpatine.
Darth Vader.
Palpatine, right?
We were getting those rumors that it was Palpatine. Well,
Robot Darth Maul.
According to this early script, the main antagonists were an older student of the Emperor and his apprentice. So here's your rule of two, right?
Max von Sydow and...
Could be. That would make sense, right? I don't know. Who's the younger one?
So, the redhead guy. What's his name?
Oh, yeah. Dom Hill Gleason.
Yeah. That guy.
Yeah. From Harry Potter. Right.
That guy.
I don't know.
He looks like a bad guy.
Well, I mean, yeah. Well, could it go back? I mean, if we're not going to have Han and Leia have the twins, right, I mean, it could be the Adam Driver character. You know, everybody kind of pegged him for a villainous character initially. Or it could be
Benedict.
If you want to say,
ooh, yeah, Benedict. Yes.
No.
Yeah,
no,
I would love that.
No more Star Trek. No.
He's
please,
a Chiss Sith.
Please. I'll cut my own head off. A Chiss Sith. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Eric. Five times fast.
Oh, Lord. So, I don't know. The thought I was going with, though, is, and this might be a twist, you know, if Adam Driver's character is Han Solo's son, you know, and he's also a Sith apprentice, that might be kind of interesting, right?
That'd be interesting.
Very.
You know, which would be kind of poetic with the old kinda, EU.
Yeah, a little bit.
Nod,
or maybe Darth Cadus.
Who is he now? Yeah, Cadus. He mentored under Lumaya. Is that right?
Lumia, yeah, and Vergeer for a little while.
Well, Vergeer, but she wasn't training him to be a Sith, though, was she?
I don't know. She messed him up pretty bad.
She messed him up, but she was kind of more. I think her teaching
him down
was
the track.
Well, yeah, but I think her teaching was more along the line: there is no light, there is no dark.
Yeah,
there is only the Force. Or whatever. Right.
Right.
So she wasn't. I don't think she was leading. I mean, I think he took that direction and sought out Lumaya, but or Lumia, as you call her. But I don't know. That might be an interesting twist, in my opinion.
What if the Sith skip generations in the Skywalker line?
Every other Skywalker.
What? Hey, every other Skywalker is light, dark, light, dark, light, dark. That's why they bring balance.
That's a good point.
There's a thought.
So
there's
that could, you know, Leia's or...
Is that on the maternal or the Luke's? Paternal side?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Let's flesh that out.
Let's consult.
Might have to draw some diagrams.
Let's consult the midichlorians. Maybe they can tell us.
Yeah.
Good DJ spreadsheet on that.
All right. So it looks like we're setting up our Sith there. Let's see. It says the apprentice then takes control of the power dynamic between the two pretty quickly. So
that
I don't
means
know.
He kills him.
Maybe that's that the hand that's floating through space.
The dead Sith. I don't know. Max von Sydow dies in the first 5 minutes. I don't know. But that would be interesting. You know, so the young Sith is the one that kind of takes over and moves things along.
I can see that.
Yeah,
maybe it happens.
Right.
It happens.
I mean, that's what they. I mean, that would be
keeping with.
Established canon, yeah. Right? So
right.
That would be all right. Let's see. Okay, the Republic. This is an interesting one. The Republic are excavating ruins on a neutral world for a weapon, which is kind of confirming what we've heard early on.
Yeah, about a super weapon.
About a super weapon, and a lot of people were theorizing that it was on a ice world of some sort. We still don't know that for sure, but it says, okay, they're excavating ruins on a neutral world for a weapon. The world factors into tense negotiations between the Empire and the Republic, and the world is referred to as the Sith homeworld.
Wait, huh. They said it was an ice planet Sith home.
So early rumors. Right? Early rumors. Well, it would be Korriban in our expanded universe.
I guess
it's not named. Yeah, Moriban or Moriband or whatever it's called. And early rumors for Episode 7, the super weapon was located on an ice planet. Now, that's unconfirmed. Again, all of this is rumor. But now they're saying, and there's no mention of here whether this is a ice planet or not. All it's saying is that, you know, this world exists. The Republic is there trying to look for this weapon. And that there's negotiations between the Empire and the Republic. And it's referred to as the Sith homeworld. So, obviously, if there are Sith still in control of the Empire, we can see why that they would be...
they want them off their property.
Right, exactly. So, it seems like the super weapon could be tied to some kind of ancient Sith, you know, ideology or, you know, magic or, you know, force capability or something. So, yeah, I don't know. That's kind of cool. I'm could dig that. Yeah,
I guess.
Right. I mean,
depending on what the weapon is.
Hell, I mean, we had, how many Death Stars did we have in the mall installation?
One and a half. And, you know, one and three quarters, I guess. And
what if this weapon is like the size of a marble?
Whoa. Could be.
It's still
like
round.
That thing from Men in Black. Round. The whizzes all around.
Is it red matter? Or is that what it's called?
Oh, wait a minute.
Did he find Spock's ship?
So many Star Trek references.
Sucked him into a different. Yeah, it didn't destroy the planet. It sucked Vulcan into the Star Wars universe. Oh.
Whoa. You just blew my mind.
Oh, yeah. I like it. But I don't at the same time.
What have you done? What have you done?
I'm going to slit my own throat.
I'm like, it's brilliant, but it's terrible.
Oh, no.
So if you create a wormhole in Star Trek, you go to Star Wars. But if you create a wormhole in Star Wars, then theoretically you'd go back to Star Trek.
Wow, I think it goes to Battlestar Galactic at that point.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. No, I don't know if I can buy that.
Well, technically, Battlestar Galactica is in the same universe as Star Trek because there's an Earth.
That's true.
That's right.
Yes.
True that.
So I guess it would be true then.
Past, I guess.
Yeah. Past, future. I don't know.
Past and future.
Well, I think we're getting slap happy.
Yeah. All right. The next one here. Let's see. It says in the script, the Sith are a couple thousand years old, which would go against a lot of people, by the way. And if this is true, this would kind of defeat this. But a lot of people were hoping that the old Republic. You know, the games and the established lore that was part of the video games, you know, with the Old Republic, because that was set 40,000 years ago. Okay.
Right.
Now, if this is true, that wipes all that out, because this says that the Sith are only a couple thousand years old.
Ooh.
And that they are founded by an ancestor of Palpatine called Ruin. Darth Ruin? I don't know. It just says Ruin.
Darth Ruin? Oh, come on.
So I'm just telling you what I'm seeing. It just says an ancestor of Palpatine called Ruin. It doesn't say Darth Ruin.
I think they just misspelled
Darth
Rune
on there.
Rune. That's what it is.
But his name is Ruin. And I've seen this in a couple different places, this name Ruin. So I have a feeling that that's going to be in the movie.
Oh, that's a terrible name for.
And it says that the apprentice in this film also goes by that name. So
it's two on the nose.
So the founder is named Ruin, and this guy's going to call himself Ruin.
There is a Darth Ruin already in Star Wars.
Really? Where at?
Lore. Yeah. What?
Where at?
Where at? I just I don't have enough.
I can't remember. He's in the Old Republic era.
Okay.
He's a Sith, of course. Darth. I think he was in. where was he in? Episode 1 novel. And in the Darth, he was mentioned in Darth Plagueis, and Knight Errant, I think. Huh. So he exists.
You might be right, man. There's a lot of stuff in that episode one novel.
Yeah, I think he was in the comics, maybe too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. We'll have to look into that because I
canon.
It is now. Yeah. All right. Let's see. The ruins within the Sith homeworld are a control station. The planet itself is the weapon.
Center point?
No red matter.
No. Sorry.
It's center point station.
It's still point station.
It's
yes.
still round. Yes. It's still round.
Gonna move worlds around.
But yeah, what the weapon, the nature of the weapon, I guess that's still open for interpretation, but interesting. I'm still cool with all that, man. Okay, here's the big ending. Are you ready?
Dun, 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 dun.
All right, Garrick has not heard this yet, so I'm kind of okay. Here we go.
All right. Lay it
on. It says Luke saves the day at the end.
What?
But in a bad way. Aww. He has changed.
Oh
yeah.
You just took me on a roller coaster.
But yeah, I'm trying to wrap my head around saves the day in a bad way. I'm trying to figure that out, but then Luke's the one doing it,
right?
And so I'm trying to figure that out as well. My mind's exploding.
I mean, here's the thing: in the expanded universe, at least in the graphic novels, during the do you know about the Emperor Reborn, Howie, and all that stuff? Dark Empire. Palpatine is cloned, and his spirit re-inhabits the body.
I remember
the clone.
Hearing you guys talk about it, right?
Right, yeah. And actually, to defeat him, Luke goes to the dark side. He actually becomes his apprentice, and somehow that helps him defeat him in the end. and then he turns back to the light side. So anyway, Luke has an expanded universe, and it refers to this at different points that Luke has flirted with the dark side.
So the rumors of Palpatine could be true.
Yeah.
Yeah, sort of. You know, I don't know. Well, we're hearing, you know, the ancestor of Palpatine. I really hope they're not going to clone him and do that whole thing.
Yeah, no, I hope not.
That part of it doesn't come out. But it's interesting about Luke saving the day at the end, but in a bad way. He has changed. So
they could have plucked that out and said, we like that. We're going to put it in the story.
Right, yeah.
I mean, but, in a different way.
And by all accounts, I mean, we're hearing a lot of this now that, you know, that EU has, you know, been relegated to Legends. Everybody's, you know, a lot of the fanboys are pissed off. But there's a faction out there that's been going around here the last few weeks saying, don't get so mad, don't get so upset. The Legends is still a rich resource for us to draw from.
Right.
So we're going to, you know.
They've been very big about saying that. Yeah, they've been very big about saying that.
So, you know, I guess I wouldn't be completely surprised if that's the case. You know, hopefully they do it in a different way, you know, that's a little more interesting than, you know, the graphic novel.
Right, but, what once went wrong.
Right. So, interesting. I don't know. I think it plays into Luke's character a little bit. I mean, I think Luke suffers from a lot of the same things that Anakin did. I mean, he has attachment. He's not very disciplined. He's, you know, he was considered reckless.
He's got kids he doesn't know about.
Exactly.
Well, if you think about it, someone coming from Luke, you know, what Luke's been through and what he's going through without really someone to, you know, train him would be a lot more, I would think it'd be a lot more reckless than Anakin was.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Potentially. Yeah, because you're right. I mean, at least Anakin had formal training. Really,
right.
Luke, what did he have, man? He had Obi-Wan.
He lost his parents.
Yeah. Never had parents. He lost his aunt and uncle, you know, and he was 19. He was 19 when he, you know, started his training. So,
lost Obi-Wan.
It lost Obi-Wan right away and then, you know, lost trained for a little bit with a little green puppet, you know, on Dagobah for a couple weeks.
Now, it was Yoda. I mean, it was Yoda.
It was Yoda, right.
But it wasn't
old
that long.
Yoda. It was 900-year-old Yoda.
He wasn't moving around. He wasn't jumping around with a lightsaber.
It was an 870-year-old Yoda.
That's right.
There's a difference.
It was last 30 years, man. He aged.
Okay, so that kind of wraps up what this story is saying as far as script leaks. So I don't know. It seems to confirm a lot of what we've been hearing. Other things, it kind of conflicts and makes more blurry. So.
And again, like you said, when you first bring it up, it sounds like it's one of the original, you know, drafts. Yeah,
I have a feeling that it's not going to be, I mean, there's going to be similar elements that make it into the movie, but I don't think that this is the overall.
I mean, go read the Star Wars.
And tell me how
close it is to the movie.
Well, that might be a little bit different. I have a feeling we're going to see similar elements. I don't know. Some of it seems like a pretty good starting point. You know, we talked about the Cold War, you know, environment, that type of thing. I mean, I think those are good, you know, baselines to start, you know, drawing from. So,
but something we haven't talked about is how could this be purposely released as a distraction?
Right. This is talking about this a couple podcasts ago. Yeah, the red herrings. JJ did this with Star Trek, you know, the early rumors started coming out, and then suddenly, you know, JJ was taken to the, you know, the mic saying, oh no, I don't know what you're talking about, it's not Khan, you know, this guy's named Harrison, and, you know, all this stuff, and people are like, oh, okay. And then the movie comes out and it's like, yeah, all that stuff that we heard at the very beginning was all true. So so, you know, makes me wonder, you know, maybe the earliest stuff that we started hearing, you know, is that going to be, you know, the more true stuff, you know? I don't know. To me, I don't know if this is misdirection, personally. I think that it confirms too much of what's been out there.
Unless everything that's been out there has been misdirection.
Just junk. Yeah.
Misdirection from the beginning. Maybe he said, you know what, let's just start with this.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't know. You don't know.
I think the Latino review is making it all up.
They want viewership.
Could be, man. They
need to sell ads.
I'll tell you what, everybody's looking at them and Badass Digest as being the authorities on all these rumors. And
name like Badass Digest, why wouldn't you be?
Yeah. That's exactly right. But here's the thing, man. I mean, these guys aren't really, I mean, some of the sources are being named, but a lot of it seems to be like, third cousins of best friends that, were the assistant to the assistant of, of the, right. the key grip, right. That kind of thing. Right. So I who knows how true some of this stuff is. So
yeah, right.
It's just all rumors. And, This is why I don't like, getting too, hey, a lot of spoilers, don't listen and blah, blah, blah. Because I'm like, none of this means anything right now.
No.
And it's fun for us to just sit around and banter.
Oh,
about,
yeah. Lots of fun to just talk about it.
Oh, I wonder if this is what it's going to be. And, is it going to be
this?
That's
why we do it.
Right, exactly. Because it's fun to just sit around and chat, or listen to a podcast about a bunch
maybe,
of guys.
And maybe they'll listen.
Maybe.
And then they'll help their direction.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, JJ. Chiss.
That's all we got to say. Blue skin, baby.
Yeah.
Blue skin.
Well, do we got anything else?
No, man, that wraps up. I had a couple things, but we can wrap it up.
Yeah, well, J.J. Abrams and an Apple Watch.
We'll save them for when Corey gets back so he can make his wise-ass remarks about that.
That loser.
That's a good idea. I'm sure he'll have a few.
He will.
And on that note, we really appreciate you joining our ride without our normal host, Corey. We miss you and we'll... Wish you the best of luck in getting better.
Sure. I hope he suffers horribly and pays the price for not being here tonight.
That's just me. But hey, if you want to follow us on Twitter, it's at FlyCasual1138. There's a lot of good stuff going on there. We got a nice little following that is very interactive. And also on Facebook at facebook.com/FlyCasualPodcast. Right.
Nice. Be sure to check us out on the YouTube. We got the YouTube up right now.
What's the address there?
The YouTube, just search Fly Casual Podcast and you'll find our stuff. So
And also betterkind.com. Yeah, right. Find our stuff
show
on there.
Notes and all that good stuff.
So the show notes we've been doing have been really good. Thank you, Mike. Thank you so much for putting those together. If you want to follow along with what we're talking about, it's right there. And there's links to everything we talk about, mostly, except maybe not the Mel Gibson thing. But on that note, you guys have a wonderful rest of the week and whenever you're listening to this, whatever it is, have a wonderful time.
We'll see you next time.
We out.
Bye. Bye.